This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Dungeon Builder's Harem, Book 2, Part 1. Chapter 8. I shook the sleep from my vision and I marched out of the bedroom. My mom hurried up from the kitchen, a look of concern on her woody face. Her leafy hair fluttered behind her. She swallowed as she saw me marching forward. "Leo? Get ready," I growled and went to my armor and weapons. "Ooh, some bad boys are breaching the dungeon," Garnet said. She wore a white apron over her slender form. My little sister struck a dramatic pose. "Let's show them the folly of their ways." "Quay, heh heh," our mother glanced at her in shock. "This isn't a game, young lady," Garnet deflated and muttered. "It's like a game, Leo," Lana said as she held open my gray robes for me to slip into. As I thrust my arms in, I thought, "Who's seen the intruders?" I was connected telepathically to everyone in the dungeon. Halia blinked and glanced at me. It looked like even she was in the network. By vowing to serve me, she had linked herself to the void crystal. "I got eyes on them," Hila reported. My wildhound's thoughts reverberated in my mind. "We're about to pounce on them. Looks like a barbarian, a rogue, a mage, and a cleric." "I know that cleric," added Numbers. "And the rogue. They attacked us with Halia." Halia groaned. "Norso and Melise? I guess they got bamboozled," I muttered. "Well, my sexiness can only last so long," Garnet said with a shrug. "I'm amazing, but no one's that good." Mom gave Garnet a curious look. "Later," I said, belting on my gray robe while Lana lifted my breastplate. She helped to strap it on me. A monster girl died. Seeing one of my satyrs just perished. I swallowed. Her soul was returned to the void crystal. When the battle was over, if we survived, I could revive her. It would be like she slept. But so long as the intruders were in the dungeon, I could do nothing to restore their flesh. "I want them captured," I said. "Deal non-lethal damage." "But they just killed Sing, Lord Leo," Havas answered, sounding angry. "And she'll be rewarded for her sacrifice," I said as Lana strapped the last one on. "I don't want them killed if we can avoid it." "Will do, Lord Leo," Svisos answered. The first ever monster girl I made. Not a companion like Lana or my mother, but a true one birthed from the void crystal and my own will. Kibir died as I took my lightning spear from Lana. It crackled with electricity. I had trained hard on it. I shook my head. I hadn't even had a chance to practice my new spells. Well, hopefully I wouldn't need them. I marched out of the living room, my companions and Halia with me. "I'm glad that you're trying to capture them," Mom said. "You shouldn't hurt people." "I don't want to," I said. "But I will if I have to. I won't let them kill us all." "He'll protect us," Garnet said. My little sister sounded so thrilled. "He's so gallant. Quay, heh heh, that's how he won this naughty succubus's heart. You loved your brother before coming here," Mom said. "Your crush was plain as day."
"Yep,"
Maya said. "Why do you think we got along so well?"
"I know,"
Garnet said.
"I'm glad we both got him. There are things we have to do. Now's not the time,"
I growled, feeling Havas dying. I swallowed. Was I getting my monster girls killed for nothing? I threw open the door to the throne room. It was one of the largest rooms in the dungeon, shaped like the home plate in baseball. It was widest at my end. My throne sat on a raised dais with smaller chairs flanking it for my companions and Halia. I mounted my throne and gazed down at why I came here. The dungeon map lay in here, a large section of the floor that showed off every bit of my domain. Dots glowed on it. I was a white dot surrounded by golden dots, my companions. Even Halia was a gold dot now, not a green dot like she used to be. My monster girls were blue dots. They were all converging on the attackers, who were red dots. They were in the opening labyrinth of the dungeon, fighting in a corridor. The dots moved about in staccato movements as the map updated only every second. The only monster girls not surging in that way were the mermaids. The oozes were on the move. They were the ones with the farthest to travel. Most of the monster girls were at the fight. I swallowed. Should I send in Yusuku, Bagi, and Pani? They were stationed in a room beyond my throne room, three dots in the center, the last line of defense before my throne room. Nos died. I swallowed. She had taken pain. She had suffered for me because of these damned adventurers. Halia, wearing her armor, gripped the pommel of her father's magic sword sheathed at her side. She paced back and forth, looking tense. She had broken into my dungeon a few weeks back with Norso and Melise.
I had spared them and captured her to try to reason with adventurers. I had shown Halia the depths of my conviction and won her to my cause. I didn't feel like that was possible. The blue dots were all over the red. The four of them were getting mobbed. I swallowed, watching the fight and wishing that I could be there. I only had one life. I didn't get to come back. Halia and I were the only ones who could truly die. The others were made of my magic, vessels animated by my will. They had souls, though. They were unique beings who deserved to live. Who didn't deserve the pain they suffered for me. "Come on," I muttered, gripping my spear. "No more of you die." Mom hugged me from behind. Though I couldn't feel her body through my breastplate, just having her hold me was a comfort. "You're doing the right thing."
"Thanks, Mom," I said.
"You are Leo,"
Maya added, coming up on my other side.
"You're noble."
Lana smiled at me.
"It's why we all love you."
"I loved him for being cute,"
Garnet said. My little succubus smiled.
"And for making me wet. But this noble thing's working for me, too. Quay, heh heh, we'll show those adventurers."
"Nor so,"
Halia groaned. "He had such a crush on me. He only became an adventurer to try to impress me.
Explains a lot,"
I said.
"Norso's the rogue?"
She nodded. Only one of the red dots was moving now. He retreated towards the entrance, but a flood of monster girls rushed after him. They swarmed him in moments. His dot shifted a few more times, then went still.
"All captured, Lord Leo,"
Hila reported. The wildhound sounded so pleased with herself. "We're binding them with their own rope." I let out a heavy sigh.
"Good, I'll be right there."
I marched forward, striding across the map itself. It was a part of the floor, a magical projection and not something I could damage with my boots. The butt of my spear tinked on the stones. My companions flowed after me, Garnet skipping along and humming. We left behind the throne room and soon reached the guard room. Yusuku, Bagi, and Pani were relaxing now. They nodded to me, Yusuku looking amused. Bagi and Pani both gave me interesting looks.
"I thought there was a reason I wanted to serve you,"
Bagi said. Companions could serve the dungeon builder who slew their original master, but only if they felt like he was compatible with them. Someone they could serve or even love.
"You are interesting,"
hissed Pani.
"Yes, he is,"
Yusuku said. She winked at me. I winked back at my Fomorian. We worked our way through the labyrinth. Everyone knew the location of the traps. The knowledge was in all our brains, so avoiding them was easy. Not that they would activate for any of us. The dungeon knew who belonged and who didn't. The mermaids rotated the bridge for us. They preened in the water and blew me kisses as I crossed it to exit their room. Garnet blew them kisses back as she pranced down the edge of the bridge. She hummed, her tail swishing. She never took anything seriously. We moved through the labyrinth and tunnels, passing trap after trap, until we came to where my monster girls had the adventurers bound and gagged. Hila had her foot planted on the back of the barbarian, a hulking figure in furs with blue paint drawn on his face and bare skin in patterns. Beyond him lay the rogue lying against the wall, hands behind his back, a gag in his mouth. The mage looked the most scared. Svisos held his staff of carved wood with a crystal held in the root-like protrusions at the tip. Farther down was Melise the cleric. He was on his back, Sakata's gelatinous form sitting on his chest. She waved to me.
"Did we do good, Lord Leo?"
Hila asked. She bounced to me and fell to her knees before me. Her black tail wagged behind her and dog ears twitched. I petted her.
"You all were amazing."
I looked out at them, especially at the satyrs who had lost two of their number.
"Bakara, you and your satyrs were fantastic."
They all smiled at me, their large breasts jiggling.
"Svisos, form up an escort. One ooze, and two of the other types. We're taking these to Astavin."
Svisos nodded.
"Kerr, Dud, Jintaras, Zybas, Sakata, GWYLLT, and Marwo."
The named monster girls all moved to the prisoners. Sakata stood up from hers and yanked the cleric to his feet. Kerr pulled Norso, who stared at Halia with shock. She stood at my side, her hand on her pommel.
"He's not what you think,"
she told her former adventuring companion.
"He's a good man."
Norso's eyes bulged. Then he snarled something through his gag. Kerr spun him around and pushed him towards the exit. The rogue twisted his head around and kept snarling through his gag at Halia. She wilted.
"Are you okay?"
I asked my paladin. I put a comforting hand on her polished, golden pauldron. She wore less armor than I, a low-cut affair that showed off her large breasts.
"I knew there would be those who wouldn't understand, but Norso?"
She glanced to the priest. He, too, stared at her in shock, but instead of being outraged, he sagged, his shoulders slumping.
"He hates me. He's just pissed that you found a man to love and it's not him,"
said Maya.
"He did that beta male thing of being the nice guy thinking he was earning brownie points. That you would have to fall in love if he kept doing nice things for you."
I blinked at that and glanced at Maya. When did she get so perceptive?
"It doesn't matter,"
Halia said, lifting her head.
"I know I made the right choice when I chose to serve you. There are no stopping dungeon builders from coming to this world. You want to make peace with us. You want to stop the others from hurting and dominating us. And you want to understand why."
Halia gave me a penetrating look.
"I want to know why, too. What dark force keeps drawing you dungeon builders to this world?"
I wanted to stop. "We'll figure that out," I said. "Come on, we have a walk to Astavin." Chapter 9. Our guests struggled the entire walk there, especially the barbarian. He all but howled into his gag. It took Dud, GWYLLT, and Zybus to keep him moving, while the other three only took a monster girl each.
Marwo took the lead, the wild hound scouting. Mom led the donkey and the cart. It seemed that the food I had been buying just wasn't good enough. She was off to shop in Astavin, of course. She seemed to think we were going to the farmer's market or something. This wasn't that sort of place. The villagers tolerated me. They were nervous when I was around, even after I had defended them and rescued their kidnapped women, stolen by that sick pervert Jindag. He had stolen a harem of women to rape and breed. I didn't feel bad at all about killing him. We passed the farmlands. People watched us. Farm wives called their children in from the field while their men held scythes or sickles or mattocks, watching us with fear in their eyes. I sighed. What would it take to show the villagers I was here to protect them? I would defend Astavin and keep them all safe. The villagers were gathering at the edge of the village, mostly a collection of men. Many of them held their improvised weapons. I groaned, hoping this wouldn't be a fight. I marched out in front of the prisoners, Garnet and Halia at my side. The village leader, Mayor Bevlin, pushed out of the crowd. He was an older human, his hair going gray. He folded his arms as he stared at the sight of us. He swallowed despite his bravado of standing straight. "Lord Leo," he said. "I caught a group of trespassers," I said, motioning to my monster girls. "I see," the village leader said. His face paled. "Do you wish me to assemble the entire village?"
"Assemble?"
I frowned at him.
"What do you mean, assemble?"
"For the execution." A dark murmur ran through the crowd. More than a few of the young men gave me angry glares. They looked about to unleash a mob on us. My monster girls tensed. Lightning crackled between the golden strands of Lana's hair.
"Oh my," Mom said in shock.
"No, no, I'm turning them over to you, Mayor Bevlin," I said.
"Me,"
the older man swallowed.
"I see. Not to execute them,"
I hastily added, shaking my head. "Hold them prisoner until tomorrow, then you can let them go. Make them pay a fine or something that goes to the village coffers." The mayor blinked. Confused murmurs rippled through the assembled crowd.
"I am Leo Baldwin," I told them.
"And I am not an enemy to your people. I am here to help you.
Defend you.
I want to live in harmony with you. Astavin is under my protection. Any adventurers who come through Astavin should be advised about the consequences of attacking me.
I won't let them kill me. I will defend myself. I have no problem with them attacking dangerous dungeon builders, but that's not me. I am your friend. I want us all to prosper together."
My mother nodded.
"He speaks truly," Halia said. "After all, he returned your stolen daughters. He is Astavin's greatest ally."
The mayor motioned to some of the men. They rushed forward and took the bound adventurers. The barbarian was the most stunned. All the fight melted out of him. He glared at me with such accusation like I had broken the rules or something. I didn't care. I just wanted to see everyone prosper. The rules were stupid. Dungeon builders didn't have to be the scourge of the world. As the prisoners were let off, the remaining men began milling about. They looked so confused. They were terrified of me and hated me, and yet I wasn't doing anything to them. I wasn't attacking or threatening them. I wasn't enslaving them.
"Lord Shorvin is not happy that you are extending your influence to his lands," said the mayor once the prisoners were gone.
"We're his vassals. He will not take kindly to you holding his territory."
"Holding his territory?"
I gave him a piercing look.
"Wait, are you claiming I conquered you?"
He flicked his gaze to the monster girls and then back to me.
"You did fight to defend us and now are declaring your domination of us. By saying I'm going to protect you,"
I said, disbelief rippling through me.
"People do not protect what isn't theirs."
"Sure they do," I said.
"You've never helped put out a fire in a neighbor's house? That's to protect the village.
Fires spread. My house could be burned.
Never helped out in the harvest or something?"
I said.
"Lord Shorvin is well aware that you have staked a claim to Astavin. He has put out the word, summoning every adventurer he can. He wants the dungeon builders in the area put down, especially you.
For doing the right thing?" I demanded, anger rippling through me. The mayor swallowed.
"Please do not punish me, Lord Leo. I am merely reporting what Lord Shorvin has declared.
Jesus, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not a monster," I fumed. "So more adventurers are going to come. He has added a bounty." The mayor shifted.
"I'm sorry. We are, of course, appreciative of you saving our daughters, but this ass wipe who wasn't protecting you against Jindag is now butthurt that I'm doing his job.
I suppose if I understand your words," the mayor said. This just got better and better. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin had never had a more surreal shopping experience in her life. The dryad felt everyone's eyes on her naked form. The nudity didn't bother her. She was a dryad, a creature of nature, and clothing seemed so silly to her now, but the suspicion disturbed her. She had never felt like people didn't trust her. They even feared her. After her son and lover had defended these people from attack and rescued their daughters, they were still terrified of him. What did these other dungeon builders do to this world? If even half of them were like this Jindag her son had killed, then she could understand. It was all so terrible. Her son fought against the pain, but she could see how the villagers' distrust hurt him deeply. He had risked his life for them. He hadn't done it to defend himself or his women. He had suffered, almost died, and they had no gratitude. Anger simmered in her. A motherly wrath. It simmered in her. She fought against it. She knew the destructive power of anger. Her deceased husband could have a temper. Not one he ever took out on her, but it could burst out of him in great shouts after being bottled up for too long. She feared the same stress in her son. He had power.
He could raise this village, burn it to the ground, and no one here could stop him. Their weapons were all feeble. She could feel the roots of the plants growing throughout the village. She could command them to seize anyone who threatened him. Even her toes could grow into woody roots and seize and hold. She had the power to cause harm. Mrs. Baldwin swallowed down those impulses and put on her most welcoming smile.
What lovely vegetables, she said to one farmer as she inspected the onions and leeks he was selling. You've grown them with skill.
He swallowed, though his eyes did fall on her ample bosom.
I'm not going to bite you, she said. Dryads are very caring and nurturing creatures. I can tell you care about your plants. It's so obvious that you did.
She selected some. She saw nothing wrong with agriculture. Plants were the source of all life. They provided the nutrients and energy that formed the basis of the food chain.
Thank you. You're welcome.
He stammered. She smiled. This was what they had to do to win the hearts and minds of Astavin. Show them that they didn't have to be afraid. G.W.Y.L.T. sniffed the leeks that Mrs. Baldwin placed into her wicker basket. The wild hound was scampering at her right, her tail bushy. The monster girl was cute, almost like a daughter to Mrs. Baldwin, though she felt more affinity for Kerr and Did who were trotting behind her.
Mother Baldwin, Kerr said, the satyr waving. This farmer has lettuce.
Ooh,
Mrs. Baldwin said and turned to the satyr. Did held up a ball of lettuce. The farmer selling it rubbed his hands. His fleshy wife stood behind him, trembling.
That's good. Grab two more good heads and pay him.
Right, Mother Baldwin,
the satyr said. Milk beaded at her nipples, just like the dryads. They brimmed with so much life, just like Astavin. A few children were peering around the buildings, boys who were nudging each other. She expected they were working up the courage to pull some prank on the monster girls, egging each other on until one did something stupid.
Be on your best behavior, everyone,
she sent through the communication network. A chorus of,
yes, Mother Baldwin,
echoed through her mind. The satyr's address for her was spreading. She smiled at that. She was a mother to them all, especially Leo and Garnet. Her two children were so delicious together. The incestuous sight sent such wicked tingles racing out of her pussy. She was such a depraved mother that I wonder when Leo will summon Crystal? She thought of her older daughter. Crystal was always teasing her younger brother, flouncing around in the skimpiest clothing to get a rise out of him, and then getting mad when he looked at what she so freely offered. A cock tease. She wouldn't just tease him here. I really am becoming a wicked mother, Mrs. Baldwin thought as she kept shopping. She smiled at the next stall and praised the farmer for the fine hunks of beef he was selling, all sadly salted. There was no fresh meat to be had. Also no refrigeration. This world did require her to adjust, but she was willing to make the best to feed her son and Halia. She would nurture their bodies, and their passions. Seeing spun out of the shadows, her large breasts swaying.
Lord Leo,
she said, stretching her back as if she had just woken up from sleep.
So we killed them?
Afraid not,
I said, standing in my vault. We had just returned from Astavin.
I let them go. I hope that's okay.
She pressed her hand down to her belly. Pain flickered across her face. Guilt rippled through me. I placed my hand over her belly. She looked me in the eye, her golden iris swimming with emotion. I cupped her face with my other hand.
I'm sorry they hurt you, I told her. I'm not,
she said.
It means I fought to protect you, Lord Leo. I love you. I'm more than willing to die for you.
And the pain?
Her expression tightened.
If I'm not willing to suffer for those I love, then it's not real.
The fierceness in her eyes was startling.
Just like I know you would suffer for me. The others told me about what you've done. I'm proud to die for you. I'd rather you lived.
She smiled and she grabbed my wrist. She pulled me from where she'd been stabbed, placing me right on her full breast.
Lord Leo, I am alive, see?
She pushed me against the inner slope of her left breast.
Feel the beat of my heart.
I did.
Strong and passionate. I squeezed her breast.
Yes, you are alive.
She smiled at me. I had to claim those lips. I leaned in and kissed her on the mouth. She groaned as my tongue thrust past her lips. She tasted so sweet. She was such a gorgeous creature. So stirring. She moaned as we kissed. Her hands grabbed my hair. She clutched me to her, her big breasts rubbing into my naked chest. I didn't wear my clothing in here. My dungeon was at just the perfect temperature. Not a drafty place but existing at just the right amount of warmth and humidity. I broke the kiss.
Let me wake up the others, then I'll treat you all.
She smiled at me. I grabbed the void crystal. Celine smiled up at me, her hands rubbing at her tits. She was getting excited. Nose spun out of the shadows. The wildhound yipped in delight, her tail wagging back and forth. She had died before. She seemed none the worse for this one.
That was good.
Then Kibber spun out, the will-o-wisp's body a swirl of blues. Azures and sapphires that swirled about each other. Her large breasts jiggled while she stretched her back. Then Havas flashed in, the other satyr shifting on her hooves, the clomping sound rising through the room.
Lord Leo. She gasped and flung herself at me. She pressed her big breasts into my chest and kissed me. I groaned at the feel of my satyr's passion. My hands grabbed her rump and squeezed her. I needed her plump flesh, my dick growing hard. I had to reward all my monster girls who died. They all deserved pleasure. I broke the kiss.
Nos and Kibber, I want you to nurse from Havas and finger her pussy. I need to make Scene come first. She did die. Scene smiled at me, her large breasts swaying back and forth as she quivered there.
The delight in her eyes was amazing. Her sister Sada broke away from me and was swarmed by Nos and Kibir. The wild hound and Will-O-Wisp grabbed Havas and pinned her to the wall. They leaned in and suckled away, Nos's tail waggling. Havas moaned as her milk fed the two monster girls.
How do you want to come, Sing?
I asked her. I can eat you out? She bit her lip and then she grabbed her tits. She held them up for me. I would be honored if you would nurse from me while you fuck me. Drink my milk while you come in me. I smiled at Sing and her bountiful breasts. She squeezed them, the white milk leaking from her nubs. I grabbed the void crystal and created a padded chair to sit on. It flashed into existence in the corner, a slight expenditure of my magic, but I had gained a little more by defeating those adventurers. Even though I didn't kill them, I still was rewarded. I sat down on my chair, my cock throbbing, seeing advanced, hooves clopping on the stones. Her lively, gray hair swayed about her lush and youthful face, horns peeking out of her tresses. Her big boobs swayed in such an enticing and fetching way. My dick throbbed, then she straddled me, her breasts swaying right at eye level. I ducked my head forward and latched onto a nipple. I suckled. Her sweet and creamy milk squirted hot into my mouth. The flavor melted through my taste buds. Lord Leo. She moaned, her hand grabbing my big dick. Oh, that's so wonderful. Ooh, yes, yes. She lowered herself down to my cock as I suckled from her breast. In the background, Havas moaned as Nos and Kibir suckled and fingered the sexy satyr. I would make all four of them come before I left here. They deserved their reward. Seeing thick bush caressed over the tip of my cock and then came the wet folds of her pussy lips. They slid over the crown of my dick and swallowed me. I groaned around her nipple. I suckled harder as her cunt slid inch after inch down my shaft. Oh, Lord Leo. She moaned. Oh, that's so good. You're just so thick and amazing. I love your dick and me. I loved her pussy wrapped around my cock. She felt so wonderful, her cunt hot around my dick. She held me tight as I suckled from her nipple. I nursed on her. I suckled with all the passion that was in me. She groaned, her cunt squeezing down on my cock. I loved it, my rod throbbing in her cunt. My fingers dug into her rump. I held her tight. My digits clutched her plump satyr ass. She moaned, her back arching. She was such a sexy thing to have impaling her cunt down my dick. She felt so wonderful. Lord Leo. She moaned. Oh yes, yes, Lord Leo. Her cunt clenched down on my dick as she rode me. I nursed with hunger from her while my hands found her ass. I squeezed her plump rump. I dug my digits into her ass, kneading her. My cock throbbed in her twat's embrace. My sexy satyr worked that amazing cunt up and down my dick. She rode me with such passion. It was delicious to experience. I groaned, loving every moment of what she did to me. I groaned, the pleasure rippling through my body. I lifted her, my hands guiding her hips. I swiveled them, stirring her cunt around my dick as I suckled at her nipple and drank down her breast milk. She was such a delight. I groaned, my dick throbbing in her twat. Then I slammed her twat down my shaft. She felt amazing. Just a wondrous monster girl. Her pussy gripped me. Massaged me. I groaned, savoring every inch of twat sliding up and then coming back down my cock. The pleasure of it was incredible. Yes, yes, yes. She gasped. That's fantastic. So good. My dick throbbed with delight as I kept drinking her milk. I suckled over and over again, her pussy clamping down each time. She felt so hot. So delicious. She made my cock ache. The pressure grew at the tip. Lord Leo! She whimpered, her voice growing throaty, almost making that throaty baa of a goat. Lord Leo! I nursed hard. Her milk squirted to the back of my mouth. She slammed her cunt down my dick and then squealed. Her cunt went wild. Hot flesh rippled around my dick. She bucked on my lap, her head tossing back. Her bass echoed through the vault while her cunt sucked at my dick. My balls tightened. I gulped down her milk as her twat massaged my cock closer and closer to erupting. I squeezed my eyes shut, my fingers digging into her rump. Her muscles flexed beneath my digits. Come in me, Lord Leo! She baaed with throaty passion. I growled around her nipple. Erupted. I pumped my cum into my satyr's inviting cunt. Her flesh convulsed and rippled around my shaft. She sucked at me, draining my balls. I groaned as I pumped her full of my seed. It was an amazing delight. Pleasure slammed into my mind. It was incredible. I rode the high, nursing from her delicious milk and enjoying every drop of it that squirted past my lips. I groaned and gulped it down. I swallowed every drop of it. The milk poured down my throat and warmed my belly. It was fantastic. I hit the peak, her pussy milking my cock dry, then she slumped forward, buying out her pleasure. I pulled my mouth from her nub and claimed her lips. I kissed her with passion. I thrust my tongue past her lips and savored the kiss. Yes. Baaed Havas in the background as she came. I kissed Sing for a few moments longer than she slid off of me. She arched her back and then gasped as Havas charged across the room, hooves trotting on the stone. The satyr fell to her knees and pressed Sing into the wall next to the chair. With a throaty groan, Havas buried her face into her sister's pussy. Sing gasped at the incestuous delight of having her sister feasting on her cunt. I loved the sight myself. I grinned, my dick throbbing hard at the sight. Sing's big breasts heaved as she shuddered and ground her furred muff on her sister's hungry face. What an inspiring sight. Lord Leo! Nosa's exclamation snapped my head to her. The wild hound leaped before me and then she darted her head in. She sucked my cock, soaked in Sing's pussy cream, into her mouth. The naughty monster girl nursed with hunger,
her head bobbing and her triangular ears, thrusting out of her midnight mane of hair, twitching. I loved the way her tail twitched back and forth.
Damn.
I groaned at the exciting delight of nose sucking on my cock. She nursed with passion. I scratched her between her ears. She sucked even harder.
Fuck nose.
I gasped. The passion was incredible. Her tongue danced around my cock. I shuddered and groaned. She bobbed her mouth up and down my dick. I loved how she nursed on me. The way she suckled with such hunger. It was incredible to enjoy. I squeezed my eyes shut, loving every moment of her hot mouth nursing at me. It was amazing to experience. My chest rose and fell as she did it. While she did, Kibber watched. The will-o-wisp rubbed at her hairless pussy, her white, crackling hair swaying about her hungry face. She bit her lower lip. I glanced at the chair. It had armrests.
Kibber, you can kneel on the armrests and plant that pussy right on my face.
Lord Leo. She breathed in delight. I love you so much. Nose mumbled around my cock. I suppose, she said.
Me too.
Then she sucked again and I groaned. Kibber suckled on her fingers fresh from her pussy as she advanced. Her flesh roiled with all those cloudy hues of blue, a living storm of plasma constrained in the form of a bust of woman. To my delight, she mounted the chair with her ass facing me. I grabbed her plump cheeks, her skin tingling with static electricity that made my fingers ever so slightly go numb. It was an exciting experience. She leaned back, pressing her hairless cunt at me. The tart aroma of her pussy filled my nose moments before she planted her snatch right on my face. I groaned and thrust my tongue into my will-o-wisp's pussy. The crackle of her snatch rippled around me. It was such a tingling delight. I groaned and swirled my tongue around in her while nose sucked on my dick. Her butt cheeks clenched beneath my fingers. Her naughty sphincter, a dark blue and wrinkled hole, winked at me.
Fuck!
I growled and wiggled my tongue deep into her tart cunt. The electricity zapped through my body, reaching my balls.
Lord Leo.
She moaned, her back arching and her pussy clenching about my tongue.
Oh, Lord Leo, that's amazing.
Nose bobbed her head with hunger, her sucking mouth mixing with the tingles that sparked through my body. Eating Kibber's cunt added a zest to the wildhound's blowjob. I groaned into my will-o-wisp's cunt, savoring her devouring me. She made me feel incredible. I thrust my tongue into her depths. I wiggled around in her. I swirled about, savoring the way she clenched her snatch down on me. It was an amazing delight to experience. Something passionate and profound. I groaned, loving every moment of probing her twat with my hungry tongue. I swirled about in her while I hurtled closer and closer to my orgasm. My fingers dug into her rump as her gasps sang through the room. They joined Seeing's buying moans.
Yes, 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 Havis.
The satyr groaned, grinding her snatch on her sister's mouth.
Lick out all of Lord Leo's cum.
I have. Havis answered. Now I just have your yummy pussy to devour, sister.
Lord Dumazid's vital cock.
Seeing gasped.
Lady Atta's sizzling cunt.
Kibber moaned.
Oh, Lord Leo, that's so good.
Yes, yes, that's amazing.
I know.
I groaned and then licked up through her silky folds, stroking them and gathering her tart juices. I didn't stop at her taint. Oh no, I kept going. I licked to her asshole. I nuzzled my face between her cheeks and fluttered my tongue over her hole. It was wonderful to enjoy. I danced over her sphincter. I teased her with such passion. She groaned, her butt cheeks clamping down on my face. I loved the feel of them as I thrust my tongue against her asshole. I danced around, teasing her. She whimpered, clearly loving what I was doing to her.
Lord Leo!
She moaned.
Lord and Lil Zapping Cock, I love it. Rim my asshole. Such a naughty dungeon builder, Lord Leo.
Groaned Seeing.
Ooh, Havis, that tongue. You're going to make me come, sister.
Good.
Yes.
I growled and then thrust my tongue against Kibber's asshole. Her anal ring parted from my tongue. I popped into her sour depths. I loved the feel of her velvety flesh engulfing my tongue. It was amazing to feel. My tongue darted around in her. I swirled about, stimulating her. She groaned, her passion echoing through the vault. As I enjoyed the earthy flavor of her bowels, nose sucked with such hunger on my dick. My wildhound brought me closer and closer to coming. She whimpered around my cock, whining like a bitch in heat. She wanted my jizz. I growled into Kibber's asshole, my tongue drinking in the zapping current. I swirled about, massaging her. My right hand slid down past my face to rub at the crackling folds of her pussy. I stroked up and down her and found her clit.
Lord Leo!
She gasped, but cheeks clamping down on my face. I rubbed her clit. I massaged her bud. She groaned as I stroked her. I plunged my tongue deep into her asshole, my orgasm climbing and climbing, too. Her juices coated my digits as I stroked that naughty button.
Lord Leo, yes!
She gasped. Juices gushed out and bathed my finger. Her asshole rippled around my tongue. I pulled my face from her butt crack and lapped up the tart delight. The juices, alive with her electric current, poured down my throat.
Fuck. I growled as I drank her juices, my dick throbbing in Nosa's hungry mouth.
She swirled her tongue around the tip. I erupted. I pumped my cum into her hungry mouth while I drank down Kibber's electric juices. My will-o-wisp moaned and gasped, her hair sparkling with current. The white locks danced as she shuddered. Her butt cheeks clenched, blues swirling in a chaotic pattern before my eyes.
Havis.
Seeing moaned.
Yes, yes, sister.
Out of the corner of my eye, I watched her breast heave. She climaxed on her sister's mouth, gushing out a flood of incestuous juices for Havis to enjoy. I groaned into Kibber's twat, my cum flooding Nosa's mouth. My good wildhound gulped it all down.
She suckled at me, drawing out my jizz. I basted her over and over again, stars dancing before my eyes. It was a delight. A true wonder to enjoy. I hit the peak of my pleasure.
Damn. I groaned, slumping back into the chair.
You all are amazing. Thank you for what you did today. They were all willing to fight and die for me. To suffer because they loved me. It was the most flattering thing in the world. And the most terrifying. I controlled their lives in my very hand. It was something I could never abuse. It was something I had to honor. Reward. Cherish.
Chapter 10. The next day, after a hearty breakfast of omelets, how my mother whipped up omelets, I had no idea. I entered the throne room to practice my magic. After fighting Jindag, I had a fair idea of what sort of spells I could cast. He had used life and water magics to great effect, healing himself with the former and attacking me with the latter. It added to my arsenal of dark and lightning spells. Brimming in my soul was the ability to cast spells, like a mage, I supposed. I said a formula and the magic happened. It wasn't like a cleric who prayed to one of the 24 gods. There was a lord and lady for each of the 12 flavors of magic, and a cleric seemed to be able to serve one. Me, I just called upon their domain for some reason. With dark, I could blind my enemies, wrap myself up in night, or even throw a dagger of black at the enemy. With lightning, I could stun with my touch, guard myself with a static aura that zapped incoming attacks, and throw a spear of lightning.
Okay, Lord Leo, let's start with life, said Celine as I stood in the middle of the throne room. My companions were watching save for Mom, who was washing the dishes. Garnet wore her apron, she had helped with cooking breakfast, and just looked so adorable in it. Maya lounged on my throne, her watery legs thrown over one of the armrests. Lana sat gracefully on her own throne, legs daintily crossed, looking like the movie starlet she was. Halia flowed through sword forms to the side, her black hair streaming behind her in the tight braid.
Soothing touch will let you heal minor wounds, said Celine. It's an external spell, but you can cast it on yourself. Technically, you can cast any external spell on yourself, since you can project your magic back into your own body as a part of the external world, but this is actually a beneficial one.
I nodded. Magic came as external, pray to the Lord, internal, pray to the lady, or a ritual, pray to both. External spells projected my power. They were my attacks. Internal spells I could only cast onto myself. They were buffs or defenses. Rituals created greater effects that could last permanently but also took time to rot. I didn't know any from lightning or dark.
You do have to touch to heal, Celine said.
So I gathered from the name, I said.
Sometimes you have to be obvious with Leo, Maya said playfully.
What, is this a party line? I demanded.
Yep,
Garnet said. A chorus of monster girls answered, too.
The only other life spell you know is an internal spell, Celine continued.
Revitalize. This energizes you.
Ah, that ass muncher used it,
I thought, remembering how Jindag had given himself a boost to his energy.
So what can I do with water?
You have two external spells with it.
Water breath lets you breathe a gush of water. Try it out. I heard the words whispering in my heart. I already knew them, I just had to remember them. I repeated them.
Waters gush and flow, let the force of Lord Enki sweep.
The moment I finished the words, I drew on my reserve of mana held in the void crystal, and a gush of water vomited from my mouth. I could feel it forming in me and then spewing out at a hard volume. I moved my head, the flow following where I looked. Water splashed over the map, a flowing tide that spread over the floor. It ended after 2 seconds.
It has force. Can knock down enemies, Celine said.
And the other spell, the drowning one?
I remembered that terror of suddenly being in a ball of water and stuck in it, unable to breathe or escape.
Watery grasp, Celine said. Deadly and dangerous. It will persist long enough to drown someone.
Yeah,
I muttered, taking in a deep breath. Words drifted through my heart.
Water's crushing weights around, feel the grasp of Lord Enki squeeze.
The water surged out and seized Maya. She gasped as she was lifted into the center of the ball. She was almost lost in the roiling sphere. Her own body, made of water, blending in. I smiled as I could just see her naked form swimming around in there.
This is nice, Maya said.
The undine sounded at peace in there.
I could just enjoy this all day long, Leo. I'll keep that in mind, I thought. Pity I can barely see you in there. Missing these?
She asked and pressed up to the front where her round breasts came into clear view. She jiggled them.
Better,
I thought.
Is he making you show off your tits?
Came my mother's amused voice.
Oh, he doesn't have to make me do that,
Maya thought.
Quay, heh heh.
Garnet chortled nearby, still wearing her apron. My little sister's red wings spread wide.
Big bro, your perversity is so inspiring. It makes me so wet. See?
She lifted the front of her apron to show off her gleaming slit. That tight delight was a mouth-watering sight. A bead of her juices ran down her pale flesh to the tops of her thigh-high boots.
Oh yes, he is such a perv,
Lana Fulman said.
He once pretended to be Baron Doom and made me put on Jane Dangerous booty shorts so he could ravish me and make me into his slut.
A smile crossed the movie star's lips. We had done that when we first arrived. Jane Dangerous, the treasure-hunting adventurer, was the character that had made Lana Fulman into a household name. Baron Doom was her arch-nemesis. A fun day of roleplay after our first trip to Astavin.
Okay, only one spell left to learn, Celine said.
Breathe water.
Not a surprising spell, I know, but one that you'll want to have if you ever come up against another builder with the water glyph or the wrong type of monster girl. I focused on my soul, letting the words for that spell rise within me. It came easily now. I just had to focus on the essence of water, how it flowed down the easiest path while slowly tearing apart that which constrained it. Soothing water sustains, let the love of Lady Ninli engulf. I chanted and felt the magic falling over myself. An internal spell. I could only give myself water breathing, pity, but I had to test it out. So I sauntered up to Maya in the sphere of water, my magic sustaining the water grasp spell. I could feel it in the back of my mind. I stared at it, flashes of Jindag nearly drowning me and one almost overwhelmed me with fear that I had my magic. I didn't have to be afraid. Maya was in there. I never had to be afraid when my best friend was around. It was strange diving into a ball of floating water. I jumped forward like I was diving into a pool, but before I could even start to arch over to plunge in head first, I slammed into the sphere. It was like a belly flop except I barely had any momentum so it didn't hurt. I was in the water, weightless and almost disoriented. Maya grabbed me. Her blue face was clear to see with her this close, her watery hair fanning out in the liquid. She beamed at me and then pulled me into the center. We drifted around, the world outside distorted, bent around us by the curve of the ball. I breathed in the water. It flowed through my mouth and down my throat. Instead of coughing, I could feel it dissolving in my lungs. It was a strange sensation. I laughed, my voice coming out oddly distorted while bubbles rose around me. Bubbles. I breathed in water and the spell turned the liquid into air inside of me. Then I exhaled it out. Did the spell do something like electrolysis, separating the oxygen molecules from the two hydrogens? Or was it just magically transmuting the liquid into breathable air? No idea, but it felt so normal as I breathed in again. Maya swam around me, her hands brushing my body. She moved with such grace through the water. This was her element. Literally. My Undine girlfriend was at home here. Her hands caressed over my back and ass. She brushed my cock, then her mouth was on it. I gasped and bucked. My spasming sent me slowly tumbling. The distorted world outside the sphere of water rotated as my naughty Undine nursed on my cock. Her warm, wet mouth sucked with hunger. Damn. I sent her telepathically. Maya, you are such a cocksucker. I know. She sent back happily, her mouth busy nursing on my dick. I always knew I'd be one for you. If you just stop drooling over every other woman. The baristas, the MILFs, the professors, the cheerleaders. Porn stars. Nina Naughty flashed through my mind. Yes. She sucked hard, my dick throbbing in her wonderful mouth. Then her legs swung before me. She grabbed my head with them and pressed me into her hairless pussy. Her hot folds pressed into my mouth, feeling liquid and solid at the same time. I licked through her folds and tasted her sweeter water. I shuddered at the sensation, while she moaned around my cock and sucked harder. I hugged her body to me, her breasts pressing into my stomach. Her body rippled in my arms, waves washing through her liquid form. Were you shaved in the real world? I asked as I licked her pussy, her hairless twat rubbing on my mouth. Nope. But knowing how much of a perv you are, I'm not surprised you love my bald twat. I do. I thrust my tongue into her snatch, loving the feel of her pussy walls around me, the way the waves flowing through her body rippled through her cunt. Her thighs squeezed tight about my head. She held me with such passion to her twat. I groaned, feasting on her with hunger. My hands grabbed her ass cheeks. I held on tight, kneading her booty. She felt so wonderful in my arms. My tongue danced through her snatch. I stirred around in her, loving her. She groaned, her cunt so deliciously warm about my tongue. Her body undulated against me, waves of a gentle sea massaging me. She nursed on my dick with such hunger. It was an impressive delight. I groaned, loving every moment of her bobbing her head. She worked that mouth up and down my dick. She suckled with hunger while I plundered her pussy. I breathed the water, and maybe her cunt cream, while feasting on her. The sweet delight of her twat filled my mouth. I held her, as we floated weightlessly. The rest of the world had vanished. There were just Maya and me in this paradise of water. It was warm and comforting. I didn't have to worry about drowning. My magic kept me alive while her mouth worshipped my cock. I swirled my tongue through her, making her moan. Making her purr. She suckled with passion, her mouth bobbing up and down my shaft. Fuck Maya. I sent to her. I wish I had given you a chance. I dreamed of it. She thought back, moaning the entire time. Now I get you, Leo. Love you, Maya. I love you so much. She sucked with such hunger on my dick. It was an amazing situation. I groaned and licked. My tongue slid through her folds. I stroked all her naughty bits. I loved her pussy lips. I savored their texture. I loved its flavor. I fluttered my tongue up and down her folds and licked the hell out of her pussy. It was a wondrous delight to enjoy. I caressed her with all the passion I possessed. I brushed her clit. She moaned around my dick, my balls tightening from her wonderful suction. I suckled on her bud, that rippling bead feeling wonderful in my mouth. My nose nuzzled into her folds. I breathed in sweet water, her cunt cream. Her passion sustained me. My fingers dug into her rump. I held her undulating butt cheeks. The world drifted around us as my passion swelled and swelled. I rose to that moment of eruption. Maya! I thought with a groan. Flood my mouth, perv! Give me your cum. I love it! And I'm the perv? We both are! Her body bucked out, a flood of sweet juices gushed out of her snatch.
I breathed in her passion, then opened my mouth wide and drank her cream. Her boobs rubbed into my chest, the waves rippling through her body growing wilder. I gripped her ass while she moaned around my cock. The humming delight wreathed the tip of my dick. My balls tightened. Then I growled into her pussy and exploded. My cum pumped into my Undine's mouth. I basted my best friend with all my cum. My legs thrashed in the water. Up and down had lost all meaning. I growled into her cunt as my cum pumped into her mouth.
So good.
Maya groaned in my mind.
Leo. Leo. I love your cum.
Me too.
Garnet added.
You got Lana so wet she started eating my pussy. Because you sat on my face.
Lana moaned. I shuddered and bucked through my orgasm. I pumped load after load of my cum into Maya's hungry mouth. I drank all the pussy cream I could out of her snatch. I loved every moment of it. I reveled in the taste of her. The wonderful delight of devouring her cunt. She was amazing to eat. Then she pulled her mouth off my cock and her legs from my face. She spun around me. Her thighs went around my waist. I gasped as she impaled her juicy pussy down my cock, her flesh rippling with her agitated waves.
Leo!
She moaned as she sank on me.
Go, Maya, go!
The mermaids all cheered. All the monster girls were listening to our thoughts.
Oh, I'm going for it.
She moaned, her back arching, her tits heaving before me. She rode me as we floated through the water. I groaned, tumbling in the sphere as she pumped her thighs, working her cunt up and down my dick. Her hot and juicy snatch held me tight. Pleasure flowed through my body, my balls drinking in the heat. My arms thrust out as I floated through this heaven. I watched her tits slowly heave in the water, rippling with such delight. They were so gorgeous, a darker shade of blue than the rest of our world. Bubbles rose from my mouth as I groaned. Growled. It was incredible. Her moans echoed through the water around us as she slammed her cunt down my cock over and over again. Her thighs flexed as they held my waist. Her pussy massaged my dick and sucked at me over and over again. I relaxed into peace as I savored my Undine's pussy. The hot sheath embraced me. Massaged me. My cock throbbed in her depths. I would have such a mighty orgasm. I would just explode with passion and pump her full of my cum. She would brim with it. I groaned as we tumbled through the water. It was incredible to enjoy. This was such rapture. Such passion. Her cunt massaged me. My toes curled. I groaned, savoring this wonderful delight working up and down my cock.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought.
Oh damn, that's amazing. That's fucking delicious, Maya.
Mmm, you like this?
She asked and then added a swivel to her hips, stirring her cunt around my dick.
Wonderful!
She smiled at me. Her hands rubbed up and down my chest, brushing over the four glyphs tattooed over my heart. Her fingers were soft and gentle as she worked her cunt up and down my dick. I groaned, our bodies rotating. We twisted and turned as we floated through our paradise. Her pussy gripped my cock harder. She grew hotter. Somehow wetter. I groaned at that silky flesh sliding up and down my cock. My fingers flexed. I groaned, bubbles rising from my mouth and drifting around her breasts. The pressure built at the tip of my cock. Her cunt massaged my dick. She brought me closer and closer to that moment of eruption. That moment when I would spurt all my jizz into her cunt. It would be incredible.
Maya!
I sent with a groan.
Come in me whenever you're ready.
She sent.
I love your cum, Leo. All that perverted seed. Makes me feel so naughty.
Mmm, my slutty, little Undine. You're the only man I'd let call me that. She sent as she slammed her cunt down my dick. The pleasure of it was incredible.
Undine?
I asked, grinning at her. She impaled her pussy down my cunt and moaned.
You are such a dick, Leo. You love my dick.
I do. She rose up my shaft, her pussy sucking hard before she slammed back down me. She took me to the hilt and gasped. Her pussy rippled and spasmed with intensity. Waves of sucking passion ran through her cunt.
Fuck.
I grunted, bubbles bursting from my mouth.
Maya.
Leo.
I'm your slutty Undine. Give me your cum.
Please, please. Her pussy sucked at my cock. She massaged me. The ache at the tip grew. My balls tightened. I groaned, the pressure swelling and swelling. Her pussy sucked at me. Massaged me. My body shuddered. I erupted.
Oh yes.
Maya gasped and bucked. Her boobs heaved in the water, her hair fanning about her. Her pussy convulsed with such passion.
Your seed, Leo. I love your seed.
Love you. I growled, a cloud of bubbles rising from my mouth. I pumped load after load of my spunk into her pussy. I basted her cunt. She rippled and writhed around me. Her twat sucked at me with such wild hunger. It was a delight to experience. I growled out in pleasure. I loved every moment of her pussy rippling about me. It was an amazing delight. She gave me this amazing rapture. Her cunt worked at my dick with passion. My toes curled as I trembled through the ecstasy. I hit that peak, spilling the last of my seed into her pussy. Then I growled, my body buzzing with euphoria. She bent over and hugged me. She held me tight as we spun through the water, my magic sustaining the two spells, drawing on the power from my void crystal. I could stay like this forever and...
Lord Leo!
The excited voice of Hela, my wildhound, barked in my mind.
Lord Fujin is at the entrance to the dungeon asking for an audience.
So much for cuddling with my Undine. Chapter 11. My hair was still damp when Fujin's dot marched down the final hallway to my throne room. Like last time, he had sworn on his void crystal not to be my enemy,
and I had done the same thing. I had met him when I'd first arrived. He had been a dungeon builder who had just wanted to stop in and say hi. He had some interesting questions, wondering where we came from. He didn't seem to be as maniacal as the two other dungeon builders I had dealt with. Fujin also felt powerful. I wondered how far he had come to reach me. Did he have a magical means of travel or did he just travel? Like last time, he had a guest with him, the two green dots almost on the doors with an escort of Bagi, Pani, and Yusuku around them. They reached the doors to the throne room. I sat up straight on my chair, my gray robes about me. My women were sitting on their thrones, even Halia had one dot. The double doors at the end of my throne room, carved and ornate, creaked open, pushed outward by Yusuku. My Fomorian stepped to the side to let my two guests sweep in. I couldn't help but grin. If Fujin truly wished for friendship, he might just be the ally I needed. He was a tall and brown-skinned man, his eyes coal bright. He had on a cloak of fire that burned down his back. He held the fire glyph and I imagined others. He had clearly modified his body with his void crystal. He had a muscular and handsome appearance. Halia's jaw dropped. Beside him was his companion, Amante. She was a busted monster girl made of cooling magma, her skin that black, but there were cracks of glowing red that ran over her curvaceous form, making her appear even more striking. A mane of fire, much like his cloak, spilled down from her head.
Ah, Leo, Fujin said. I have been most impressed with your methods. Wanting to make peace with the people of this world. It's an admirable path.
He spoke with sincerity as he approached.
It takes a brave man to make peace with those who want to kill him. Change can only come when we get to know our enemies and learn that they are not much different than we are.
I said.
Besides, if we spend all our time fighting them and each other, we'll never learn why we were brought here. And that monster!
Halia burst from her throne and whipped out her blessed sword. Her golden armor flashed in the light as she charged at Fujin. Her black hair streamed behind her. I gaped in shock as she raised her sword to attack him.
Halia!
I gasped in shock.
Fujin held out his hand. Howl and rage, let the winds of Lord Anu gust.
His spell sent a blast of air from him that slammed into Halia and threw her back on the ground. She hit with a clattering impact. She coughed for a moment, her limbs spasming. She began to stand, rage screaming from her lips.
Halia!
I bellowed, gaining my feet, shocked by my paladin's actions.
Your vassal seems to be angry, Fujin said with a flippant attitude. Out of respect, I chose not to incinerate her, but she came perilously close to violating your word. Bastard!
Halia spat as she gained her feet, her hand gripping her sword. She raised it, her legs tensing.
Halia, what the fuck are you doing?
I roared, marching off my throne and seizing her arm as she lunged forward again. I almost lost my grip on her. She whirled about to face me, a strand of her black hair spilling down her fiery cheeks. Her blue eyes smoldered with rage. This close, the hum from her blessed blade vibrated the bone in my ear and made my cheek twitch.
He's a monster! That's Fujin the Inferno! The Black Flame of Nias! The Razor of Kilias! He's a foul and loathsome dungeon builder. One of the worst.
I flicked my eyes to Fujin. He stood there impassively. He had power. That spell felt strong, like it was a level of magic over mine. I glanced around the room. I had him outnumbered with all my monster girls and he didn't seem perturbed. And if he was as powerful as Halia feared.
That's not it,
I said, gripping her arm.
There's fury in you.
Real rage.
What is it?
He murdered my father.
She threw a look over her shoulder and leveled her blade.
Do you remember this sword?
Huh.
Villain. You slew the last owner of it. You roasted him in his armor, orphaned his daughter, and widowed his wife.
Fujin's eyes glanced down then up at her.
Ah, Anguin.
Fujin nodded.
A worthy opponent. He nearly gutted me. Killed Amante. His party pillaged my domain. Only one escaped. The rogue. Too much bother to kill since I was fighting to stay alive. Pity that the sword is blessed. I would have loved to have that blade on my wall.
Halia roared and pulled at my grip. It took all my strength to hold her back. I jerked her around.
Halia. He's a guest. I promised him safe passage. That my monster girls and you wouldn't attack him. He deserves to die for his crimes. The Western lands suffer under his rule.
Suffer. Fujin arched an eyebrow.
They prosper. No more wars. No more bandits or roving bands of monsters. I have brought my land's peace. You have enslaved its people and made them your chattel.
Spat Halia.
I did what I had to do to survive. Fujin said. The moment I came to this world, lost, confused, I was attacked. Adventurers sought to kill me and loot my domain. I had to protect myself. My darling Amante. I fought and fought. I showed the world what I would do if they kept attacking me. It took them two object lessons, but now they do not harm me. They do not put those I swore to protect in danger. I'm not different than Leo. He would never burn cities to the ground.
Halia snarled, her arms shaking.
He would never condemn thousands to death. I made mistakes.
Fujin looked down.
But they have wrought more peace. No different than what the Americans did to Japan. I slaughtered to stop worse bloodshed. I shoved peace down this world's throat. I'm sorry you choked on it.
Halia shrieked and nearly jerked out of my grip.
And my father? Demanded Halia. His sword demands your blood. I have killed a lot of adventurers.
Fujin said, weariness falling over his bronze face.
What choice did I have? They came to kill me.
Your father slaughtered the monster girls I loved, hacked through my home, and sought to murder me. I defended myself. I will not apologize for wanting to live. For my only crime being my existence. I swallowed. I knew what he meant. I only wanted peace, too, but despite what I did for Astavin, they feared me. Thought me a tyrant. Adventurers were still hunting me down. Lord Shorvin had put out a bounty on me.
Halia.
I whispered. I turned her face to mine with a free hand. He's a version of me that didn't have your support. That was thrown into this world and was forced into darkness. But he has come offering friendship. I can't reject that. Not when we're so precariously positioned. You can't possibly want to be friends with him. She snarled. He admitted it. He burned those cities. I glanced at Fujin. He could have burned Halia to cinder for what she had done. Instead, he used a spell to knock her back. He could raise my entire dungeon. I could feel the power bleeding off of him. I needed allies. How long ago did he burn those cities?
50 years.
She said. People don't attack him much. My father was the last. I'm sorry. I said. I truly am, but where will it stop? This violence. You want to kill him for defending himself against your father. Fine, you kill him. But what if there's someone who loves him? What if he has a son or daughter that hunts you down to avenge him? And on and on and on. This has to stop. Dungeon builders and the people of this world need to find a way to coexist, or this suffering is never ending. That's what I want more than anything. I thought that's what you wanted. But if it's vengeance. I shook my head. What good will that do the world? It will rid it of one monster. She hissed. And? Another one will just rise in his place. One who doesn't care about making alliances and figuring out why we're brought here. What force is yanking us from our world? How long have dungeon builders been a problem? She squirmed. It's hard to say. Thousands of years since Mescalambda the Flaming Devil first arose. So much has been lost. She trembled. Our world is constantly being assaulted. I know. I stared into her blue eyes. Do you trust me?
Yes.
For now, Fujin is more valuable as my friend. If he is repentant of his crimes, if he truly has made it peaceful in his lands, then I need his help. I'm sorry. I understand if that is too much for you to swallow. If you would rather seek out vengeance than make this world better. I'll release you from my service. Lord Leo. She whimpered, tears springing in her eyes. But you have to choose. You can't ask me to work with my father's murderer. Her liquid depths pleaded with me. You don't have to work with him. You don't have to be around him. You just have to let me deal with him. Okay? You have to give up on vengeance to make this world better. Are you strong enough to do that?
I'm strong.
She hissed. Then what do you truly want? She squeezed her eyes shut. Her arm lowered. She shuddered and then opened her eyes.
I want peace.
You showed me that, Lord Leo. I'm your paladin. That has not changed. It's just.
He, I know.
Then I noticed that my mother was by us. She watched, pain on her woody face. I gently pressed Halia towards her.
Take care of her, Mom.
I will. She said gently, her arm going around Halia's shoulder. My mother led the trembling paladin away, the tip of her humming sword nearly dragging across the ground. I watched them pass by the thrones and then through the doors that led to our quarters. They boomed shut. I turned to Fujin.
I?
He held up a forestalling hand.
No apologies needed.
I had heard you had recruited a paladin to your side, but I had no idea it was Anguin's daughter. I would have taken more care. I truly had no choice. Her father nearly killed me. He was a legend. He had taken down some of the vilest dungeon builders. And how many of them had burned two cities to the ground? I asked, my voice cold. Fujin closed his eyes. I was younger. Angry at the situation. How everyone hated me. I gave an ultimatum, and then thought I had no choice but to carry it out when they ignored me. When you make a threat and don't act on it, your enemies are only emboldened. Remember that, Leo. Never threaten to do something that will leave you haunted by nightmares. It took two cities, after that, they surrendered. I took an area of petty kingdoms always warring with each other when not dealing with builders, and unified it. I crammed peace down their throats. They all hate me for what I did, deservedly so, but at least their lives are as comfortable as such a primitive world will allow.
I considered his words.
50 years. That would make him older than my mother, though he didn't look it. He looked to be in his 20s instead of his 60s or 70s. A lot of time to reflect. To change. Why are you here? I asked, sinking on the throne. I needed allies. I couldn't be picky. If he wasn't actively hurting people now, I would just have to overlook his past acts. Two cities burned, though. Have you had any insights into why we're here? Fujin asked.
I've been thinking about it.
I said, my thoughts still spinning from the revelations. It was hard not to see the man standing before me as a monster. But he was just a human, like me, torn from our world and thrust into this insanity.
Celine, the soul of my void crystal, asked if I could protect her before I was summoned.
Only, she seemed a little different from my Celine. Almost more majestic.
I don't know.
Did you have that dream?
Yeah.
He said. Before the fire came and burned me. I dreamed of her, and then she asked me again. We made love and then I appeared here. A contract formed. There's something there. I said, leaning back in my throne. Something important that I feel like we're missing. Why was she different? She hadn't imprinted on us yet.
said Fujin with a shrug. The soul then bonded with us, and that has to affect her. Every single dungeon builder I've talked to has one. They're the same and yet subtlety different. They react to us and adapt to us, becoming, maybe, what we need when we first arrive.
Okay. I said. That felt almost right, but I just couldn't quite accept it.
There are the elemental gods. Any others? Like an over-god or something. Not that I know of. Fujin said. Religion isn't my strong suit. I was an atheist. I never imagined anything like this world was possible. I don't even know if their gods are real or if they just believe in the superstition.
Why, you think some chief god summoned us? How about demons or evil gods? I asked.
That's us. He chuckled. We're the evil gods, basically. To them, we're the source of all evil. The corruption that festers in the world. Why are we brought here to protect the void crystal? To protect our souls. That's what we agreed to, right? Fujin frowned at that. His brow furrowed. I hadn't really given that much thought. We have to protect our crystals to keep ourselves alive. Something is planting void crystals in the world. Something that wants them to survive. They need guardians.
Us.
Why?
I really do not know.
Fujin said.
Fresh blood.
He grinned. I knew you were one to seek out as an ally. You are not bent on the pleasure or the freedom. Some of the builders are sociopaths. They revel in the power they have. In the ability to inflict harm. They have lost their humanity. Others just become bitter over being forced to defend themselves. They don't care about the why, only the present. But you're not jaded. Not tainted. You're seeing clearly. I think we can figure this out. Are there any libraries in this world? I asked. Any places that information of void crystals might be stored?
The scientists, scholars is probably a better word.
Said Fujin. I shrugged. So the scholars of this world must have studied void crystals. Obviously, dungeon builders die to adventurers. They must have some theories about us. Some ideas on why we're here. Have you ever gone to one?
Fujin rubbed at the back of his neck. I hadn't even thought of it.
Huh. That's not bad. The Great Library of Lirilysa is maintained by the elves in the Greenleaf Woods. It's far closer to your domain than mine. It lies beyond Myrosilla, the capital of these lands. They are said to have preserved knowledge lost to others.
Damn, it's simple. I feel like an idiot for not seeing it.
I shrugged.
It happens. I've seen that in video games. You get so used to playing a game one way and then your friend shows you something you didn't even think about, and it changes everything.
Video game? He asked.
Right, right. You just must be from the 1950s or something.
Damn, you missed out on a lot of crazy shit.
He shrugged. Okay, this library is a start. I said, smiling. I was glad to have some direction now.
A path to walk.
That was good. I wanted to know why I was here. This was important to me. Maybe the most important thing in the world.
I'll send word to the elves. See if they'll help us.
Just going to ask, huh?
Fujin smiled.
What's the worst they do?
Say no?
They might say yes.
You're optimistic.
So optimistic. Garnet said.
My big brother thought he could make it with a movie star, and look, he's got Lana Fullman here. If you were alive when she started playing Jane Dangerous in her booty shorts, well, you would have been a fan, Fujin. But positive thinking can get you far.
Yes, it can.
Lana said, a big smile on her silvery lips. Lightning crackled amid the strands of her hairs.
Well, I wouldn't get your hopes up. Said Fujin.
He gave a bow.
But it's a worthy way to try. You know how to get word to me.
He had given me a scroll with a seal on it. I nodded. He whirled and marched out. I leaned back in my throne room. I hoped I made the right decision to be friends with him. Was he telling the truth about his lands? Had he truly changed from the monster who had burned down two cities? I sighed, not sure I made the right decision at all.
Bitterness stewed in Halia as she marched into Astavin a few hours after the bastard Fujin had left. She ached for that vengeance, but her lord and lover would deny her that opportunity. He was right, which was what galled her the most. She wanted to make the world better, and killing Fujin, while satisfying, would only spill more blood. She'd made a choice and turned her back on being an adventurer. She had sworn her blade to Lord Leo. Lady Sherida, goddess of light, had agreed. She had blessed Halia, still. To have been so close to her father's murderer and not able to gut him infuriated her. She stamped down the road before the others. Leo had come with Maya, Lana, Mrs. Baldwin, and Garnet. He brought all his companions and favorites to keep him safe while leaving the dungeon in the care of his monster girls. It was always a risk to come here, but he had a purpose. Another dungeon builder would have simply attacked the library and seized what he wanted. Or, at least, threatened the elves with destruction and devastation if they did not hand over what he desired. Lord Leo had written a beseeching letter. As the party approached the edges of Astavin, Halia noticed a group of girls gathering. Young women with big smiles on their lips. Halia frowned as they watched their party. They had looks on their faces of interest. They are attracted to Lord Leo, she thought. A group of young men was gathering, too. They looked angry. Muttering. They didn't like their sweethearts casting dewy eyes on Lord Leo. Halia shivered. They would use this to feed their anger at a dungeon builder. They would pretend it was okay to hate Lord Leo because of what he was. They would feel emboldened. After all, it was okay to despise dungeon builders. To attack them and murder them. Murder. Halia thought. When did I start thinking it was murder to slay a dungeon builder?
Lord Leo had changed everything. He'd broken her world. Dungeon builders were evil. Monsters. They weren't supposed to have feelings. Weren't supposed to be people. They were the cause of all that was wrong in this world. But was that truly right? Other crimes afflicted this world. People stole and beat and killed each other. Women were assaulted, children murdered, and wars fought. They were always blamed on the dungeon builders' disruption. How they had made the world worse, bringing out the darkness in the various races. Are they just scapegoats for our own failings? Halia wondered. Despite saving Astavan's women, they assumed the worst of her lord. They did not believe he merely wanted to protect them. They saw themselves as his vassals. How long before they would start collecting taxes and sending it to him instead of Lord Shorvin? Then Lord Shorvin would summon an army to hold onto Astavan and its resources. How long before war tore through this area all because they didn't understand that Lord Leo wanted to be a good neighbor?
Ah, back so soon, said Mayor Bevlin.
He rushed up. Do you need more food, Lord Leo? Her lord sighed.
Leo's fine, Mayor Bevlin.
Of course, of course. The man said, bobbing.
What can we do for you, Lord Leo?
I need a messenger sent to the Great Library of Lyria Lyasa. He glanced over at the dryad.
Mom.
She produced the envelope, sealed with wax and wrapped in twine, then handed it to the mayor along with a pouch of coin.
For the messenger to see him to the library.
I see. The mayor said.
That's a far trip.
Are you?
He swallowed.
It's just asking for some information. Lord Leo said with a flippant wave of his hand.
It's not a threat or anything. I don't like doing that.
Of course not, Lord Leo. The mayor said, bobbing his head.
I'll make sure it goes out.
He looked around.
Jelen!
A young man walking by jumped.
And mayor?
Lord Leo needs this letter delivered to the Great Library in the Greenleaf Woods. Go now. Get this there as fast as possible, or you'll face Lord Leo's displeasure.
The color melted from Jelen's face.
Halia's heart pained for her lord as he winced at the fear. He hated being seen as a monster. He had a large and bountiful heart that wanted to protect all these lands. Jelen snatched up the letter and bolted towards the village stables.
He's a good choice.
Halia said.
He will get it there with no problem. You have nothing to fear from him. Is there anything else you need?
The mayor asked, sweat now gleaming on his brow. He rubbed his hands together.
Perhaps you'd like to take your ease in the common room. Enjoy a refreshing ale and have a meal.
Or, he glanced at the young women watching.
Enjoy other refreshments. I didn't save them to make them into my personal refreshments.
Lord Leo said, his cheeks going red.
I have all the refreshing women around me.
Mm, we're very refreshing, said Mrs. Baldwin. She hugged her son from behind, rubbing her naked breasts into his back.
We keep him well satiated.
Quay, heh heh. The succubus chortled, throwing back her head, her black pigtails dancing around her face.
That we do. Why, look at Maya. She's living water.
She refreshed Lord Leo just this morning.
Ah, yes, said the mayor.
So, he wants Lord Leo to leave but is too scared to say it.
Just came to send the message, said Lord Leo.
And to make sure you're doing okay.
There have been no problems? Any new dungeon builders popping up in the area?
Not that I know of, said the mayor.
Lord Shorvin's diviners have not sent word, but the call for adventurers is growing. A party set off just this morning.
We didn't pass them. Halia smiled. The precise location of his dungeon was still not common knowledge.
Good. Well, I'd better get back to my dungeon, Lord Leo said and chuckled. I don't want them to get hurt. My monster girls can be very protective.
Ah, yes, very good. The mayor mopped at his forehead. Lord Leo turned away when the first scream pierced the air. My head whipped around at the scream. More shouts rose from the other end of the village. The mayor groaned. I gripped my lightning spear and burst into a run in that direction, my legs pumping beneath my gray robes. Halia paced me. Her braid of black hair flowed out behind her as she ran, her feet pounding on the ground. She whipped out her humming blade and held her shield ready. From around the blacksmith's hut, a woman ran with a baby in her arm and a child screaming behind her. She saw us and screamed, then turned and fled in the opposite direction. Others were running from that direction. An old man hobbled out, tears dripping from his eyes.
Stone,
he mumbled.
Just became stone. Right in my hand.
Then I ran past him and rounded the corner to see a statue of a man in flight. He looked behind his shoulder. He was impossibly balanced on one foot, his other lifted. The detail was so precise, every hair in place. Other statues dotted the street. A woman in a dress throwing up an arm in warding, a pair of children holding hands. A living woman sobbed on her knees before the two little ones, her face pressed into her hands. I swallowed at the sight. Down the street were several monster girls with bodies covered in blue scales and bands of pink running up their bellies and large breasts. They had pink, feathery hair and walked on bird-like talons. Curling smoke spilled from their lips. One breathed and swept over the sobbing mother. Her cries cut off as she became a statue like her children. Leading the blue-scaled monster girls was another. She had a sinuous body covered in light green scales. Instead of hair, she had a writhing mass of green snakes that all hissed and snapped at the air. Halia screamed and raised her shield in front of her face as the monster girl turned to face us.
Gorgon!
Halia gasped.
Don't look her in the eyes.
Too late. Those golden, serpent eyes landed on me. Chapter 12. Power swept over me as I locked eyes with the Gorgon. A hardness wanted to sweep over me, but my innate magic pushed back. I resisted the effects of her petrification gaze. A gorgon. That was what Medusa was in Greek legends. This creature worked just the same way. I wrenched my gaze away from hers, panting. It hurt to look at her, but she couldn't petrify me. Halia was another matter. She held her shield up and looked at me, her face pale. I swallowed. Was this a marauding band of monsters or had a dungeon builder attacked my domain? The others are basilisks, whispered Halia. Their breath. I saw. I growled. Lightning crackle and hiss, gird me in the love of Lady Atu. The lightning crackled around me, forming an aura of defense around me. My other women spread out, electricity crackling through Lana's hair. Maya stepped up, her body rippling. She had a look of fury on her face. Mom shook her head, her bountiful breasts jiggling. Her toes began to grow into vines. We would have to take care of these monster girls and protect the people of this village. Astavan didn't deserve to have this tragedy befall it. So, her gaze petrifies? I growled as the gorgon hissed at me. She charged me, the basilisks rushing at her flanks.
Yes,
Halia answered. Her eyes can entomb all but the most powerful adventurers. Let's nip that in the bud. I concentrated, the words rising out of my soul. Darkness hides and shadows conceal. Let the curse of Lord Zuin fall. Darkness appeared over the gorgon's eyes. She stumbled, her snakes hissing and snapping. Her hands shot up, rubbing at the magic obscuring her gaze. The blind spell was a useful one. That was a threat removed. I took care of her eyes, Halia. I growled, gripping my spear. For Astavan. I charged forward. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin rushed at the nearest basilisk. The one who had petrified the mother. That offended the dryad. To turn children and their mothers into statues was a crime that had to be dealt with. Never in her life had she felt so furious. She had righteous anger screaming through her as she rushed at the basilisk. The blue-scaled monster girl slowed her charge and drew in a breath. A gout of noxious fumes burst from the basilisk's mouth and rolled over the dryad. Mrs. Baldwin gasped as the vapor rippled over her body. It caressed her, but it didn't affect her. She didn't have to breathe it in. It left her feeling dirty, like a layer of grime coated her woody body, but she wasn't human any longer. She was a magical being. A monster girl serving her hunky son. Bitch! Growled Mrs. Baldwin when the breath attack faded. The basilisk hissed in frustration. I don't need my breath to rip you apart, twig! Twig? Mrs. Baldwin's toes grew into the ground, roots that dug through the soil. I'm bustier than you are. But you'll snap like one! The basilisk growled and rushed forward. The dryad's roots burst out of the ground and seized the basilisk by the feet. The scaly monster girl snarled as they yanked her up short. She fell on her face before Mrs. Baldwin, the enemy bracing her fall with her hands. The dryad shook her head at the basilisk and bound her feet more securely. Mmm, you have been a bad girl. Mrs. Baldwin said, her toe roots wrapped tightly about the basilisk's ankles. You need to be disciplined and— The basilisk lunged upward and slashed with her claws. They ripped into Mrs. Baldwin's belly. She screamed as her woody flesh tore. Golden sap oozed out over her skin, the pain slamming through her body. Risking a glance over her shield, Halia saw Leo and the other monster girls charging out. The gorgon clawed at the darkness in her eyes. Halia smiled. Her lord was a powerful mage. He would defeat these monster girls and find a way to stop them. Halia went to spring when she heard footsteps. She whirled to see a basilisk had come around the other side of the smithy and charged her. The monster girl drew in a deep breath. Halia gasped and threw up her shield. The monster's poisonous breath spilled over her shield. The paladin held her breath and closed her eyes as the black gas billowed around her. The heat swept over her legs, but her upper body was warded by her shield. Still, she felt the gas attacking her lower extremities. Lady of Light, give me the strength to endure the foul breath of this creature. She prayed, her entire body shuddering. Light girded her body, a minor protection. It wouldn't save her from taking a full blast, but it was enough. Her heart pounded in her chest. Basilisks and gorgons were some of the most dangerous monsters out there. They were earth monsters. Her heart pounded. Lessons from her father echoed in her head. Your shield is your life. While your sword will slay your enemies, your shield will protect you against the dangers. Embrace it. Cherish it. If you do, it shall not fail you. The breath stopped. With a cry, she darted forward, her father's blessed sword buzzing in her hand. She rushed at the garishly colored basilisk. The monster girl gasped, her pink-scaled breasts heaving. Halia swung her weapon in a hard swing as she closed the distance. The basilisk flowed to the side and dodged Halia's sword stroke. The monster girl's claws slashed in. Halia pivoted to bring her shield around, but the basilisk sliced at her right side. Her shield was out of position. The claws ripped into her side. Pain exploded. Blood spurted from the wounds. Abdominal muscles tore. Halia gasped and staggered. The shock slammed into her as her life spilled down her flesh. A wave of cold washed over her. She gritted her teeth and screamed through them as she staggered to face the basilisk. Garnet flapped her red, devilish wings. The succubus launched into the sky, her spaded tail swishing behind her. The basilisk charging at her slashed at the empty air where she had just stood. Laughing, Garnet landed on the roof of a house. Miss me! Taunted the succubus. She thrust her rump over the edge of the roof, legs bent. Then she shook her ass down at the basilisk. Quay, heh heh, I'm right up here.
Smack. A handprint burned across her right butt cheek from where she spanked herself.
You can't get this succulent ass. You're down there and I'm up here. Bitch.
The basilisk snarled, Garnet's lust magic spilling around her.
MMM, you'll just have to stare in frustration at my gorgeous and perfect ass and my juicy cunt.
The succubus shuddered, her wings rustling.
Quay, heh heh, you want to eat that tight slit and you can't. You're down there and I'm here.
The basilisk snarled and then threw herself against the wall. Her claws dug into the exterior of the house. Garnet whirled around and blinked as the basilisk's claws tore into the adobe-like exterior of the medieval building.
No fair climbing!
The succubus cried out in dismay. I had blinded the Gorgon. Black patches covered her eyes. I smiled. She didn't care. Her snakes hissing, she charged down the village road at me. I gripped my spear as she hurtled at me. Her body undulated with a sinuous grace, her round breasts bouncing before her. I gripped my spear and stabbed. The weapon lanced out at her blind body. She couldn't see with her petrifying gaze and she spun around my spear's crackling tip. She closed in with me, her snakes on her head all coiling up as they prepared to strike. She was on me. 2 dozen or more snakes hissed and lunged at me, their mouths open. Each one had slitted, reptilian eyes. I had blinded her, but not her snakes. They hurtled in at me, fangs flashing, and struck the static aura crackling protectively around my body. Sparks burst from each of the triangular heads. The Gorgon screamed in pain and staggered back. Her snake hairs all hissed and recoiled back, scales scored in spots. Some fell limp while others staggered and twitched. The spell fizzled around me and died. I drew back my spear and stabbed it at her, as she recoiled in pain. The electrified tip hurtled at her stomach. Her hand seized the haft before it buried into her chest. The muscles in her arms bulged. She stopped my thrust. Then she ripped it out of my hands. I gasped, thrown off balance by the weapon being torn from my grip. She spun it around and stabbed it at me. I struggled to regain my center of gravity and dodged to the side. The blade slammed into my guts. I gasped at the cold shock that plunged into my abdomen followed by the pain and crackle of electricity imbued in the spear. My body convulsed. I threw back my head and screamed out my pain. The Gorgon laughed. Lana Fulman's electric wings carried her over the foul breath of the basilisk. The lightning sprite twisted in the air, her golden hair flowing behind her. Electricity arced between her strands. She landed behind the monster girl. Her wings spread wide. The air crackled with static energy. A blast of lightning sizzled out at the basilisk. Crying out in dismay, the scaly monster girl dove for the ground. She tumbled on the hard-packed dirt of the village road. She rolled and came up unscathed before Lana. The basilisk hissed and slashed her clawed fingers at Lana Fulman. Maya certainly never thought in her life she would be fighting a monster girl. A basilisk. Maya also never thought she would be an undine, a being made entirely of water. Her liquid flesh rippled with her agitation. How could she defeat the basilisk before her? The monster girl slashed with claws that sought to rip through her flesh. While she didn't have organs or blood or bones, she still could die. Every blow would tear water from her body. Lose too much, and she would fall apart. She could feel that, knew that about her new existence as Leo's newest companion and lover. She couldn't block the attacks. She didn't have weapons. Only her body. She had to dodge and dance, trying desperately not to get torn by the basilisk's claws. One caught her side, ripping away a handful of her water that splashed the ground. The thirsty soil drank it up, a bit of her life lost. It didn't hurt though. She had to do something. A plan. Think, Maya hissed at herself. Be smart about this. You can't let her beat you. She sensed something. A source of water deep in the ground. She turned her head and spotted a well. A stone wall in a circle with a frame built over it to support a rope and bucket attached to a hand crank. She darted for it. Claws slashed down her back, tearing away more of her life. She pounded for it, the basilisk hissing behind her. She reached it and whirled around to see the basilisk barreling for her, scaly breasts heaving. This better work, thought Maya because it didn't sound like it was going well for them. Pain rippled through Mrs. Zoe Baldwin. The dryad's sap-like blood spilled down from her torn open belly. Her root toes squeezed tighter about the basilisk at her feet. The monster girl hissed and lunged up to tear the milf dryad apart even worse. Mrs. Baldwin hugged the basilisk to her, pulling the monster girl's face between the dryad's large and milk-heavy breasts. She held the scaly enemy to her and squeezed. She closed her eyes, hating doing this, but the pain pulsed through her.
No!
The basilisk howled as the dryad squeezed about her with the strength of an oak tree.
I'm sorry!
Mrs. Baldwin whispered. Claws raked down the dryad's back. She screamed through her clenched teeth as the struggling basilisk fought to save her life. Bones creaked as the dryad squeezed harder. Mrs. Baldwin clamped her eyes closed. A loud pop cracked from the basilisk. Her body went limp, her spine broken. For a moment, the dryad held the monster girl's limp body against hers. Then the basilisks melted away, her dead body vanishing, sent back to her dungeon builder's void crystal. Mrs. Baldwin cried out in pain. Her body staggered, her hands pressing her torn open guts. She collapsed. The spear buried into my guts twisted around before she ripped it out of me. Blood dripped from the end. Those of her snake strands that hadn't been stunned hissed in delight. A smile crossed the Gorgon's lips as she drew back for another attack. Pain throbbed through my guts. My legs buckled.
Blossom and regrow with life, let the vitality of Lord Dumuzid heal. I cried, the words rising out of my soul. My wound mended, the life magic repairing my torn flesh. As my guts knitted together, I dodged to the right. The spear flashed past me. My robes flared. The strength to my abdomen returned, the pain vanishing as my magic healed me. Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord Enlil explode. The spear of lightning fired from my hand. At only 5 feet, there was no time for the Gorgon to do more than shift her weight before it struck her full in the chest. It hit with sizzling energy. Her entire body convulsed. She shuddered and then collapsed. A smoking scorch mark burned into her chest. Her snakes writhed and hissed. My spear rolled from her hand. I snagged it up and stabbed it down into her breastbone. Ribs cracked. Her entire body spasmed. Blood boiled around the tip of the spear buried into her chest. I ripped it free. Her scream tore at my soul, full of such pain. Her hand reached up, clawing at the air. Lord. Zyamili. She croaked, and then she let out a bubbling breath, blood staining her lips. Her eyes stared at me. The basilisk scrambled up on the roof. Not fair, Garnet said and stamped her foot, clad in a heel boot. Petulance crossed her face. That's totally not fair. You know that? The basilisk shrugged. Guess that ass isn't out of reach. I guess so, Garnet said, backing up slowly. Then she grinned. Quay, you've fallen right into my trap. The basilisk's brow knitted. Yep, Garnet exclaimed like everything was going to her plan. She shoved her left hand between her thighs and rubbed at her juicy pussy. As a succubus, she always had a juicy pussy. Shadows gathered in her right hand, her whip forming. You are at my mercy now. The basilisk looked right and then left. How? Garnet wrenched her hand away from the hairless folds of her pussy. Cunt cream coated her palm and fingers, the spicy musk of her passion filling the air. Her magic threw her fragrance right at the enemy monster girl. The basilisk's nostrils twitched. Her tits rose as she drew in a deep breath. A sighing hiss escaped her lips. Her hands suddenly rubbed at her belly, her blue scales contrasting with the pink of her stomach and tits. The basilisk rubbed higher up to her breasts, her nipples hard. That's right, Garnet said. You want my pussy. You climbed all the way up here to enjoy it. She flexed her fingers. Just fall to your knees and lick my palm. Taste my juices. No. The basilisk hissed. Crack. The monster girl flinched from the shadowy whip snapping over her head. On your knees right now. Garnet shouted, her voice a sultry purr. Her wings spread wide as her shadowy, lust-filled magic flowed through the air. The basilisk growled. Garnet couldn't show fear. She had to overwhelm this basilisk with passion. Or she was dead. Bleeding, Halia wouldn't give up the fight. Her side burned as she swung her father's blessed blade. The air buzzed with her swipes. The silvery blade left blurring sweeps through the air, deadly arcs that would cleave the basilisk in half if her blade landed. The monster girl moved with reptilian grace. She dodged and undulated her body, tits heaving as she kept just out of reach of Halia's sword. Her braid of black hair swung behind the paladin, almost a counterweight to the hard slashes of her sword. The basilisk danced to the right and then slashed in with claws. Halia caught the attack on her shield. The talons raked down the metal, the ear-splitting sound making Halia wince. Her cheeks tightened against the oral torture as she thrust her sword past her shield at the basilisk's guts. The monster girl spun to the side, the blade missing her body by inches. Her breasts heaved as she drew in a deep breath. Halia gasped and pivoted. Inky death exploded from the basilisk's mouth and engulfed Halia. I have to bring my shield. Thoughts ceased. A statue of a gorgeous paladin stood when the smoke cleared, her shield raised and her sword came up in an attack. Face captured in an expression of warrior determination. Beautiful and powerful all at the same time. The basilisk's claws plunged into Maya's watery stomach. They would hurt, but her flesh was made of water. It did nothing to her. Nothing but splash water on the ground. It diminished her volume. That was a threat. She grabbed the basilisk's scaly wrist with both her hands, holding on as tight as she could, keeping those talons buried in her liquid body. The ground rumbled beneath as she lost more of her water. Just hold her for a few more seconds, Maya thought to herself. Don't let go. The basilisk hissed and tried to rip her hand free. Concern flashed across the monster girl's blue-scaled face. Her feathery, pink hair fluttered around her shoulders as she struggled. She hissed with reptilian fury. What are you doing? The monster girl demanded, the ground rumbling louder. She raised her talons to slash at Maya's unprotected breasts. Hoping this works, Maya shouted. Water exploded out of the mouth of the well and swept over the undine and the basilisk. Like Leo's watery grasp spell that had provided such a delightful fun when he was practicing his magic, Maya swept the pair of them up in a ball of liquid. It flowed around her as she held on to the basilisk. The monster girl thrashed and screamed. Bubbles burst from her lips as she kicked and clawed with her one free hand to swim to the outside of the ball. Maya held her tight. Her legs wrapped around the monster girl's body. The basilisk thrashed, churning up the water and spinning them around. Maya floated in her element as she drowned the monster girl. I'm so sorry, thought Maya. I'm so sorry, but you're hurting innocent people. Including those I love. Maya didn't relent until the basilisk drowned and vanished back to her void crystal. Lord Zyamili? I growled. Is he your dungeon builder? The twins, the Gorgon spat, are coming for you.
The twins?
I demanded. She grinned at me.
You'll see. They'll be coming for you. You're weak.
They're not. Today was a test. She vanished, gone back to the void crystal. This Lord Zaimili would revive her and...
Twins? Were two dungeon builders working together?
Fuck. I looked around the battlefield. A ball of water flowed near the well. Garnet was up on the roof, her wings spread wide. My mother sagged to her feet, clutching her wounded belly, and Halia was fighting a monster basilisk. Smoke burst from her enemy and engulfed Halia's body. My heart clenched in terror. Lana Fullman flapped her wings to dodge the incoming attack. She wasn't in time. The basilisk claws punched through her breasts and ribs, burying into her heart. She felt the pain of her organism being demolished by the talons. The basilisk clenched her hand and ripped out a bleeding mass of flesh. Lana's body spasmed. Immediately, her vision fuzzed and a cold exhaustion fell on her. She spread her wings wide to fire one last blast of lightning, but her wings drooped. The charge throughout her body sputtered and went out. With a groan, she slumped into death and then into sleep. A comforting embrace swept around her. Celine held the slumbering soul of Lana Fullman. She couldn't help her number one fan any longer in this battle. She had failed to kill her enemy. The basilisk groaned.
Crack. Fall to your knees and worship me.
The naughty succubus commanded, her adorable face bursting with domination. The whip slashed through the air above the basilisk.
Devour my pussy right now.
Crack. The basilisk flinched from the whip. The scent of spicy pussy filled the air. Cream dripped down the succubus's thighs to the tops of her boots. Her hips wiggled, her small boobs jiggling. Juices gleamed on the palm of her hand.
Lick my hand clean, slut.
Crack. The monster girl hissed and then fell to her knees. She crawled forward, her scaly ass wiggling back and forth. She reached the succubus and slid a thick, but forked, tongue across Garnet's hand. The succubus's wings fluttered. She shuddered in delight, her pussy clenching.
Just like that, little pet.
She purred and pulled her hand away.
Ooh, and look, there's more pussy cream right there between my thighs.
The basilisk groaned. Her feathery hair flowed behind her head as she snapped forward. She buried her face between the succubus's thighs. Pleasure rippled through Garnet. She arched her back and smiled in delight.
Quay heh heh, you fell right into my dastardly pussy trap.
She moaned, that forked tongue slithering into her cunt steps.
You're mine.
No. The statue of Halia looked so fierce and beautiful when the basilisk smoke spilled away. Fury brimmed in me. A moment later, I felt the power rushing back to my void crystal. Lana Fullman had just died. One of my monster girls had had to suffer again. But Halia. She was human. Frozen in stone. I couldn't fix that. I couldn't change her flesh. She didn't get to sleep in the void crystal until I could resummon her to this world. The basilisk had stolen away her beauty. She had petrified everything about her, fossilized her into a piece of art. No longer living. No longer breathing. I had failed her. I bellowed my furious rage. It roared out of my chest. Pain and anger swirled through me. This world kept throwing pain at me. These bastard dungeon builders, these despicable twins, wanted to destroy me. Wanted to hurt those I love.
Why?
For power? Didn't they have enough of it? No, no, they would never have enough. This world had twisted them. It was twisting me. My voice rasped by the force of my shout, I panted, my entire body shaking. The basilisk who had petrified Halia turned and grinned at me. She charged at me, pink tits heaving before her. She wanted to tear me apart. To inflict pain on me for the pleasure of Lord Zaimili and his twin.
Fuck that.
Water's crushing weights around, feel the grasp of Lord Enki squeeze. Watery grasp seized the basilisk. The ball of water lifted her and trapped her in the middle. She gasped, squirming, clawing, kicking to get free. Panic crossed her face as she drowned. I marched up to it, looking at her.
Tell these twins they made an enemy today.
I growled.
When they bring you back, you tell them that Leo Baldwin will destroy them.
The basilisk thrashed as she drowned. I watched until her spasm slowed, her legs twitched, and then she went still. Her body faded away, sent back to the void crystal. She wouldn't pay for what had been done to Halia. Lord Zaimili and his twin would. Another basilisk rushed at me, golden blood dripping from her hands. The one who had killed Lana Fullman. I raised my hand and a spear of lightning fired from my grasp and stuck her sizzling in the chest. They would all pay. These fucking twins would die. They wanted to be animals and attack an innocent village. They wanted to hurt those I loved and vowed to protect. They didn't deserve to live. They were the reason the world hated dungeon builders. I gripped my spear in a throbbing hand and looked around for more of them. I saw statues of the poor villagers I had failed to protect. Halia gasped and threw up her shield. The monster's poisonous breath spilled over her shield. The paladin held her breath and closed her eyes as the black gas billowed around her. The heat swept over her legs, but her upper body was warded by her shield. Still, she felt the gas attacking her lower extremities.
Lady of Light, give me the strength to endure the foul breath of this creature.
She prayed, her entire body shuddering. Light girded her body, a minor protection. It wouldn't save her from taking a full blast, but it was enough. Her heart pounded in her chest. Basilisks and gorgons were some of the most dangerous monsters out there. They were earth monsters. Her heart pounded. lessons from her father echoed in her head. Your shield is your life. While your sword will slay your enemies, your shield will protect you against the dangers. Embrace it. Cherish it. If you do, it shall not fail you. The breath stopped. With a cry, she darted forward, her father's blessed sword buzzing in her hand. She rushed at the garishly colored basilisk. The monster girl gasped, her pink-scaled breasts heaving. Halia swung her weapon in a hard swing as she closed the distance. The basilisk flowed to the side and dodged Halia's sword stroke. The monster girl's claws slashed in. Halia pivoted to bring her shield around, but the basilisk sliced at her right side. Her shield was out of position. The claws ripped into her side. Pain exploded. Blood spurted from the wounds. Abdominal muscles tore. Halia gasped and staggered. The shock slammed into her as her life spilled down her flesh. A wave of cold washed over her. She gritted her teeth and screamed through them as she staggered to face the basilisk. Garnet flapped her red, devilish wings. The succubus launched into the sky, her spaded tail swishing behind her. The basilisk charging at her slashed at the empty air where she had just stood. Laughing, Garnet landed on the roof of a house. Miss me! Taunted the succubus. She thrust her rump over the edge of the roof, legs bent. Then she shook her ass down at the basilisk. Quay, heh heh, I'm right up here. Smack, a handprint burned across her right butt cheek from where she spanked herself. You can't get this succulent ass. You're down there and I'm up here. Bitch! The basilisk snarled, Garnet's lust magic spilling around her. MMM, you'll just have to stare in frustration at my gorgeous and perfect ass and my juicy cunt. The succubus shuddered, her wings rustling. Quay, heh heh, you want to eat that tight slit and you can't. You're down there and I'm here. The basilisk snarled and then threw herself against the wall. Her claws dug into the exterior of the house. Garnet whirled around and blinked as the basilisk's claws tore into the adobe-like exterior of the medieval building. No fair climbing! The succubus cried out in dismay. I had blinded the Gorgon. Black patches covered her eyes. I smiled, she didn't care. Her snakes hissing, she charged down the village road at me. I gripped my spear as she hurtled at me. Her body undulated with a sinuous grace, her round breasts bouncing before her. I gripped my spear and stabbed. The weapon lanced out at her blind body. She couldn't see with her petrifying gaze and she spun around my spear's crackling tip. She closed in with me, her snakes on her head all coiling up as they prepared to strike. She was on me. 2 dozen or more snakes hissed and lunged at me, their mouths open. Each one had slitted, reptilian eyes. I had blinded her, but not her snakes. They hurtled in at me, fangs flashing, and struck the static aura crackling protectively around my body. Sparks burst from each of the triangular heads. The Gorgon screamed in pain and staggered back. Her snake hairs all hissed and recoiled back, scales scored in spots. Some fell limp while others staggered and twitched. The spell fizzled around me and died. I drew back my spear and stabbed it at her as she recoiled in pain. The electrified tip hurtled at her stomach. Her hand seized the haft before it buried into her chest. The muscles in her arms bulged. She stopped my thrust. Then she ripped it out of my hands. I gasped, thrown off balance by the weapon being torn from my grip. She spun it around and stabbed it at me. I struggled to regain my center of gravity and dodged to the side. The blade slammed into my guts. I gasped at the cold shock that plunged into my abdomen, followed by the pain and crackle of electricity imbued in the spear. My body convulsed. I threw back my head and screamed out my pain. The Gorgon laughed. Lana Fulman's electric wings carried her over the foul breath of the basilisk. The lightning sprite twisted in the air, her golden hair flowing behind her. Electricity arced between her strands. She landed behind the monster girl. Her wings spread wide. The air crackled with static energy. A blast of lightning sizzled out at the basilisk. Crying out in dismay, the scaly monster girl dove for the ground. She tumbled on the hard-packed dirt of the village road. She rolled and came up unscathed before Lana. The basilisk hissed and slashed her clawed fingers at Lana Fulman. Maya certainly never thought in her life she would be fighting a monster girl. A basilisk. Maya also never thought she would be an undine, a being made entirely of water. Her liquid flesh rippled with her agitation. How could she defeat the basilisk before her? The monster girl slashed with claws that sought to rip through her flesh. While she didn't have organs or blood or bones, she still could die. Every blow would tear water from her body. Lose too much, and she would fall apart. She could feel that, knew that about her new existence as Leo's newest companion and lover. She couldn't block the attacks. She didn't have weapons. Only her body. She had to dodge and dance, trying desperately not to get torn by the basilisk's claws. One caught her side, ripping away a handful of her water that splashed the ground. The thirsty soil drank it up, a bit of her life lost. It didn't hurt, though. She had to do something. A plan. Think, Maya hissed at herself. Be smart about this. You can't let her beat you. She sensed something. A source of water deep in the ground. She turned her head and spotted a well. A stone wall in a circle with a frame built over it to support a rope and bucket attached to a hand crank. She darted for it. Claws slashed down her back, tearing away more of her life. She pounded for it, the basilisk hissing behind her. She reached it and whirled around to see the basilisk barreling for her, scaly breasts heaving. This better work, thought Maya, because it didn't sound like it was going well for them. Pain rippled through Mrs. Zoe Baldwin. The dryad's sap-like blood spilled down from her torn open belly. Her root toes squeezed tighter about the basilisk at her feet. The monster girl hissed and lunged up to tear the milf dried apart even worse. Mrs. Baldwin hugged the basilisk to her, pulling the monster girl's face between the dryad's large and milk-heavy breasts. She held the scaly enemy to her and squeezed. She closed her eyes, hating doing this, but the pain pulsed through her.
No!
The basilisk howled as the dryad squeezed about her with the strength of an oak tree.
I'm sorry!
Mrs. Baldwin whispered, claws raked down the dryad's back. She screamed through her clenched teeth as the struggling basilisk fought to save her life. Bones creaked as the dryad squeezed harder. Mrs. Baldwin clamped her eyes closed out. A loud pop cracked from the basilisk. Her body went limp, her spine broken. For a moment, the dryad held the monster girl's limp body against hers. Then the basilisks melted away, her dead body vanishing, sent back to her dungeon builder's void crystal. Mrs. Baldwin cried out in pain. Her body staggered, her hands pressing her torn open guts. She collapsed. The spear buried into my guts twisted around before she ripped it out of me. Blood dripped from the end. Those of her snake strands that hadn't been stunned hissed in delight. A smile crossed the Gorgon's lips as she drew back for another attack. Pain throbbed through my guts. My legs buckled.
Blossom and regrow with life, let the vitality of Lord Dumuzid heal.
I cried, the words rising out of my soul. My wound mended, the life magic repairing my torn flesh. As my guts knitted together, I dodged to the right. The spear flashed past me. My robes flared. The strength to my abdomen returned, the pain vanishing as my magic healed me.
Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord Enlil explode.
The spear of lightning fired from my hand. At only 5 feet, there was no time for the Gorgon to do more than shift her weight before it struck her full in the chest. It hit with sizzling energy. Her entire body convulsed. She shuddered and then collapsed. A smoking scorch mark burned into her chest. Her snakes writhed and hissed. My spear rolled from her hand. I snagged it up and stabbed it down into her breastbone. Ribs cracked. Her entire body spasmed. Blood boiled around the tip of the spear buried into her chest. I ripped it free. Her scream tore at my soul, full of such pain. Her hand reached up, clawing at the air.
Lord. Xiamili.
She croaked, and then she let out a bubbling breath, blood staining her lips. Her eyes stared at me. The basilisk scrambled up on the roof.
Not fair,
Garnet said and stamped her foot, clad in a heeled boot. Petulance crossed her face.
That's totally not fair. You know that?
The basilisk shrugged.
Guess that ass isn't out of reach.
I guess so, Garnet said, backing up slowly. Then she grinned.
Quay, you've fallen right into my trap.
The basilisk's brow knitted.
Yep,
Garnet exclaimed like everything was going to her plan. She shoved her left hand between her thighs and rubbed at her juicy pussy. As a succubus, she always had a juicy pussy. Shadows gathered in her right hand, her whip forming.
You are at my mercy now.
The basilisk looked right and then left.
How?
Garnet wrenched her hand away from the hairless folds of her pussy. Cunt cream coated her palm and fingers, the spicy musk of her passion filling the air. Her magic threw her fragrance right at the enemy monster girl. The basilisk's nostrils twitched. Her tits rose as she drew in a deep breath. A sighing hiss escaped her lips. Her hands suddenly rubbed at her belly, her blue scales contrasting with the pink of her stomach and tits. The basilisk rubbed higher up to her breasts, her nipples hard.
That's right,
Garnet said.
You want my pussy.
MMM, you climbed all the way up here to enjoy it. She flexed her fingers.
Just fall to your knees and lick my palm. Taste my juices.
No. The basilisk hissed out crack. The monster girl flinched from the shadowy whip snapping over her head.
On your knees right now,
Garnet shouted, her voice a sultry purr. Her wings spread wide as her shadowy, lust-filled magic flowed through the air. The basilisk growled. Garnet couldn't show fear. She had to overwhelm this basilisk with passion. Or she was dead. Bleeding, Halia wouldn't give up the fight. Her side burned as she swung her father's blessed blade. The air buzzed with her swipes. The silvery blade left blurring sweeps through the air, deadly arcs that would cleave the basilisk in half if her blade landed. The monster girl moved with reptilian grace. She dodged and undulated her body, tits heaving as she kept just out of reach of Halia's sword. Her braid of black hair swung behind the paladin, almost a counterweight to the hard slashes of her sword. The basilisk danced to the right and then slashed in with claws. Halia caught the attack on her shield. The talons raked down the metal, the ear-splitting sound making Halia wince. Her cheeks tightened against the oral torture as she thrust her sword past her shield at the basilisk's guts. Lana Fullman flapped her wings to dodge the incoming attack. She wasn't in time. The basilisk's claws punched through her breasts and ribs, burying into her heart. She felt the pain of her organism being demolished by the talons. The basilisk clenched her hand and ripped out a bleeding mass of flesh. Lana's body spasmed. Immediately, her vision fuzzed and a cold exhaustion fell on her. She spread her wings wide to fire one last blast of lightning, but her wings drooped. The charge throughout her body sputtered and went out. With a groan, she slumped into death and then into sleep. A comforting embrace swept around her. Celine held the slumbering soul of Lana Fullman. She couldn't help her number one fan any longer in this battle. She had failed to kill her enemy. The basilisk groaned out crack.
Fall to your knees and worship me!
The naughty succubus commanded, her adorable face bursting with domination. The whip slashed through the air above the basilisk.
Devour my pussy right now!
Crack, the basilisk flinched from the whip. The scent of spicy pussy filled the air. Cream dripped down the succubus's thighs to the tops of her boots. Her hips wiggled, her small boobs jiggling. Juices gleamed on the palm of her hand.
Lick my hand clean, slut!
Crack, the monster girl hissed and then fell to her knees. She crawled forward, her scaly ass wiggling back and forth. She reached the succubus and slid a thick, but forked, tongue across Garnet's hand. The succubus's wings fluttered. She shuddered in delight, her pussy clenching.
Just like that, little pet.
She purred and pulled her hand away.
Ooh, and look, there's more pussy cream right there between my thighs.
The basilisk groaned. Her feathery hair flowed behind her head as she snapped forward. She buried her face between the succubus's thighs. Pleasure rippled through Garnet. She arched her back and smiled in delight.
Quay heh heh, you fell right into my dastardly pussy trap.
She moaned, that forked tongue slithering into her cunt's depths.
You're mine. Nuh.
The statue of Hulia looked so fierce and beautiful when the basilisk smoke spilled away. Fury brimmed in me. A moment later, I felt the power rushing back to my void crystal. Lana Fullman had just died. One of my monster girls had had to suffer again, but Hulia, she was human. Frozen in stone. I couldn't fix that. I couldn't change her flesh. She didn't get to sleep in the void crystal until I could resummon her to this world. The basilisk had stolen away her beauty. She had petrified everything about her, fossilized her into a piece of art. No longer living. No longer breathing. I had failed her. I bellowed my furious rage. It roared out of my chest. Pain and anger swirled through me. This world kept throwing pain at me. These bastard dungeon builders, these despicable twins, wanted to destroy me. Wanted to hurt those I love. Why? For power? Didn't they have enough of it? No, no, they would never have enough. This world had twisted them. It was twisting me. My voice rasped by the force of my shout, I panted, my entire body shaking. The basilisk who had petrified Hulia turned and grinned at me. She charged at me, pink tits heaving before her. She wanted to tear me apart. To inflict pain on me for the pleasure of Lord Xiamili and his twin. Fuck that.
Water's crushing weights around, feel the grasp of Lord Enki squeeze.
Watery grasp seized the basilisk. The ball of water lifted her and trapped her in the middle. She gasped, squirming, clawing, kicking to get free. Panic crossed her face as she drowned. I marched up to it, looking at her.
Tell these twins they made an enemy today,
I growled.
When they bring you back, you tell them that Leo Baldwin will destroy them.
The basilisk thrashed as she drowned. I watched until her spasms slowed, her legs twitched, and then she went still. Her body faded away, sent back to the void crystal. She wouldn't pay for what had been done to Hulia. Lord Xiamili and his twin would. Another basilisk rushed at me, golden blood dripping from her hands. The one who had killed Lana Fullman. I raised my hand and a spear of lightning fired from my grasp and stuck her sizzling in the chest. They would all pay. These fucking twins would die. They wanted to be animals and attack an innocent village. They wanted to hurt those I loved and vowed to protect. They didn't deserve to live. They were the reason the world hated dungeon builders. I gripped my spear in a throbbing hand and looked around for more of them. I saw statues of the poor villagers I had failed to protect. Chapter 13.
Yes, yes, yes.
Garnet moaned as the basilisk licked and lapped at her pussy.
Oh, just like that. Get that tongue in me. Quay, heh heh, you're going to make me come. You naughty basilisk.
The basilisk hissed with reptilian delight. Her forked tongue fluttered around in the succubus's cunt, making Garnet feel so good. This was how a fight should go. Cracking a whip and then enjoying the monster girl's hungry licking, crimson wings fluttered. Garnet moaned, her hips wiggling to grind her snatch on the monster girl's mouth. Her head tossed from side to side, her black pigtails swaying about her face. She groaned, her orgasm hurtling closer and closer with every lick. She grabbed the back of the basilisk's head, feathery hairs tickling her palms.
Just like that, slutty basilisk. Ooh, my little lizard whore, get that tongue as deep as possible and... You're tickling my cervix!
The fluttering touch of that long, forked tongue on her cervix had pleasure exploding in Garnet. The succubus's tail slashed the air behind her. Wings fluttered. Her moans echoed over the village as her pussy cream gushed out of her. The naughty succubus bucked through her orgasm. Waves of pleasure washed through her body. She trembled from the passion of this moment. She loved every second of it. She groaned as the basilisk drank all her yummy juices.
Yes, 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 you're such a good lizard girl,
moaned the succubus.
Ooh, yes, yes, you made me come so hard and...
She saw her big brother marching up to her, his robes crimson with his blood around a hole punched through the fabric. She squeaked in shock as he drew back his spear and slammed it into the basilisk's back. She had never seen him looking so furious in his life. The basilisk screamed and then melted away.
I was coming, big bro,
she gasped.
Why did you do that? I could have had more fun with her. You could have, too. We could have fucked her together, big bro.
Hulia's petrified. He growled. Garnet's red eyes widened. The black whip in her right hand fell from her grip and dissolved into shadows before it reached the ground. Her entire body quivered. Her red wings hugged about her torso as she rocked in place.
No,
she groaned.
Not Hulia. She... You can fix her?
Her big brother sagged.
I don't know.
She threw herself at him. She hugged him tight, holding to her big brother. His arms slowly went around her. He rocked her, as she felt his pain.
Halia was so amazing. Garnet loved her. Surely my big brother can save her. A dozen people had been petrified besides Halia. The villagers were moving around, staring in shock. Some were hugging the statues of their loved ones and crying. Others looked stunned. The husband to the woman and her child stared with broken horror at his petrified family.
I'm going to restore them.
I shouted to the people, my surviving monster girls around me. I had healed my mother's wounds.
People of Astavin, this shall be avenged. The dungeon builder who did this, Lord Zyamili and his twin, will face justice for their crimes. Your loved ones who were petrified will be restored to life.
There had to be a way to save them. I glanced at Halia. There had to be a way.
I will do whatever it takes.
I promised them.
I will see these lands protected from every dungeon builder.
I will teach them not to come here. That Astavin and its people deserve to live in peace and prosperity.
The villagers stared at me. Some had blank faces, unreadable, while others stewed with anger, resenting me like I had caused this. Others had hope, especially those girls I had rescued from Jindag's foul clutches. The mayor stared at me with dead eyes. I realized that they were used to atrocities befouling them. That the deprivations caused by dungeon builders were the reality that the simple people of this world labored under. It was terrible. My hands clenched in fury. My knuckles throbbed white. Let's find a place where they can wait for their cure out of the weather. I said. They will be fixed. That is my promise to all of you.
Mayor Bevlin started organizing the transportation of the poor people. I went to Halia's statue. I would take her back to my dungeon and keep her safe until I knew how to fix her. Fury beat in my heart. This simmering rage at the twins that I spotted Orvain, the priest of light who ministered to Astavin. He wore brown robes and I could see the golden chain of his amulet vanishing beneath his clothes. I marched over to him. He lifted his sad face.
I can do nothing for them, Lord Leo.
He said, shaking his head.
It is not in the Lord or Lady of Light to restore their flesh. But it is possible?
I asked, my heart clenching tight.
You vowed to fix them without knowing how?
The priest arched an eyebrow.
I will fix them. There's always a way to undo petrification curses, right? You need a priest of the Lady of the Earth. Goddess Ki is the one who can restore the flesh. And if I gain earth magic?
I asked, feeling those glyphs burned into my skin.
I suppose there would be a way.
The priest said slowly. He swallowed.
You are not the monster I expected you to be. Because dungeon builders are just people.
I muttered. The priest looked doubtful. Earth magic. The Gorgon and the Basilisks were earth monsters. That meant this Lord Zyamili had that element as his glyph. The Gorgon must be his companion. If I killed him, then I would gain access to the power to save Halia.
How are these twins?
I asked.
Lord Zyamili and his brother. Lord Zyamili and Lord Led are terrible dungeon builders.
Said the priest.
I am shocked that they attacked out here. They must be spreading their influence. They have their domain east of Myrcilla. That was the capital of this human kingdom. They control the Voriano Mountains and have enslaved the dwarves who dwell in those peaks.
The priest looked around the village.
They are not the gentle master you are. I am not your master. I'm your neighbor and ally, nothing more. I don't want to rule. By protecting us, you mark us as your territory.
The priest said.
Whether you know it or not, the world sees us as yours. Lord Shorvin is certainly not going to stand idle about it. Yes, yes, he's put out the call for the adventurers.
I waved a dismissive hand.
It's these twins I have to care about.
I wanted to be peaceful. I wanted things to be safe for my family. To have easy lives. But these twins had to be dealt with. What was that old Latin saying from the third John Wick movie? It was one of the last I'd seen before all of this.
If you want peace, I muttered. Prepare for war.
The priest gave me a sharp look.
You are going to attack the twins? They've already attacked me.
I shook my head.
I have to go.
When I returned to my monster girls, they had Halia loaded up on the cart along with the supplies we had come here to buy. I marched forward, our donkey pulling the wagon. My mind pondered this. Anger brimmed in me. What did the twins want with me? If they were east of Myrcilla, they were far from here. This attack must have taken days to travel here. Days that the twins had left their defenses lowered. But of course, if there were two of them working together, then they must have combined their resources. Zyamili and Led, the names pounded through my head with every beat of my heart. Zyamili and Led, they echoed through my mind. Even when Jindag had attacked Astavin to steal their women, it hadn't infuriated me. I had gone not to kill Jindag, but to rescue those girls. His death was just a consequence. I wanted to murder Zyamili. I never knew such anger could lurk in my heart. Such fury. And my hand gripped my spear as we left the farmland behind and entered the mountains. The trail grew steeper. My thoughts roiled with fury. I couldn't think of anything else but plunging my spear into Zyamili's heart and stealing the power to save Halia. Every time I glanced at her petrified form, the need to track down Zyamili swelled in me. A reckless urge to charge after him. It shook my body. I trembled with it. I could see no other path before me but one that led to his death. I wanted to see the fear in his eyes. To hear.
We're under attack, Lord Leo!
Celine screamed in my mind. My head snapped up to stare at the trail. We weren't at my dungeon yet. I could see the peak it was built under looming before us. My heart burst into a wild beat as cold fear shot through me. I could feel the first of my monster girls dying.
We're being attacked by Yukiana, orcs, and unicorns.
Celine continued.
They're level 2 monster girls from ice, metal, and light.
a satyr died. Then a wildhound. A will-o-wisp.
They are slaughtering your defenders, Lord Leo!
Selene cried, panic in her tone.
All monster girls fall back to the guard room!
I cried. Mermaids, do what you can! We're on our way!
Hold out!
Yes, Lord Leo! Sang in my mind even as another satyr died. I burst into a run, abandoning the donkey cart. I pounded down the trail, my mother and Maya running behind me. Garnet soared in the air above me. I gripped my spear, terror slamming through my chest. Level 2 monster girls? And 3 different glyphs? This had to be the twins. One forced to attack Astavin and draw me out to protect the village, another to attack my dungeon when I wasn't there. My stomach roiled. A wildhound died. Would I be in time? If they got past the guard room, I had never run so fast in my life.
Chapter 14.
The taste of blood filled my mouth. My side ached from the run. Even with my body pushed to my peak physical condition, I panted. 10 minutes later, I reached the entrance to my dungeon. The fighting was fierce. They had reached the guard room. My monster girls were dwindling. I charged through the cave and to the doors. They were thrown open. Just torn off their hinges. Inside, traps were tripped. Evidence of the enemy monster girls tearing through my dungeon was everywhere. And why women followed me as I ran through the maze. I knew it by heart. The pressure filling my chest swelled and swelled. A satyr died. The fighting raged in the guard room. I had to get there right now, but I had so much territory to cross. The mermaids were dead, the bridge raised and turned to the secret door. Maya had to dive into the water to turn it. I chafed to do something. Every moment I stood here brought defeat closer and closer. I stared at her swimming in the water. She turned the bridge. We darted out to it, and then fought for balance as it rotated to go through the secret door. They had blasted through it, finding the way with ease. Maya climbed up the central column as I raced down to the end. The moment I could, I darted through the door and moved deeper into my dungeon. The lightning columns were all destroyed. The enemy monster girls had blazed through my defenses with ease. Level 2 monster girls. I only had level 1 and the companions. Would Yusuku, Pani, and Bagi be enough? I hurtled down the hallway to the throne room, Garnet whimpering in fear as another wildhound went down. I could feel my resources dwindling. I swallowed my fear, leaping over a triggered pit trap. I hoped it got one of the bastards. The growls and shouts of monster girls echoed down the hallway. Through the blown-up doors ahead, I could see the fray. The battle had commenced. Lightning strobed and flashed. Metal clanged against horn. A satyr bowed in pain, and then I felt her soul released and returning to the void crystal. My stomach twisted. I burst into the room to find chaos. But my arrival had even the odds. 11 on 11. I had 2 wildhounds, a will-o-wisp, 2 satyrs, and 3 oozes still in the fight besides Yusuku, Bagi, and Pani. They fought the Yukiana, unicorns, and orcs, everyone paired off. Yusuku and her shadowy blade met the steel sword of what must be an orc. Bagi danced around a white-skinned woman with frosty blue hair. Mist spilled off her body. That must be the Yukiana. I didn't know what that was, but I knew what orcs and unicorns were, and that wasn't her. Pani battled the unicorn. The Naga's serpentine body wove and twisted, dodging the unicorn's lancing horn attacks. Silky, white hair danced behind the unicorn as her golden horn thrust from her forehead. A horse's tail swept behind her above her curving rump. My oozes fought unicorns and Yukianas. Svisos fired lightning at an orc who blocked with her sword. My satyrs danced around flashing blades, the orcs trying to hack them down. It was chaos. Nos, one of my wildhounds, dodged the sword slash from an orc, a tall and swarthy woman with thick strands of black hair. Nos's petite body twisted around a sword stroke. She darted in to bite into the orc's flank and tear out flesh. The orc was faster. Her sword plunged through Nos's body. My wildhound yipped in pain. Her tail straightened, and her head snapped back. Then her slender form slid off the sword and vanished before she even hit the ground.
No!
I roared, fury brimming in my voice.
Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord and Lil explode!
The sizzling bolt of lightning hurtled from my hand and struck the orc as she turned to face us. She ducked the bolt. It crashed into the wall behind the orc. She grunted and charged at me, her big tits swaying. The Amazonian monster girl fixed death on me. Behind her, Filtara screamed. The ooze's body crystallizing. One of the Yukianas had her hand planted on Filtara's body. An arm snapped off. A hair tentacle broke. Then my ooze shattered into 1,000 pieces and vanished. I closed my eyes, almost forgetting the threat that barreled down at me.
Fuck!
I snarled and raised my spear before me, clutching it with both hands spread wide apart on the shaft. I caught the powerful sword stroke with the haft. Metal clanged. Fury swept through me. Nos had suffered on the end of her blade. My hand shot out as the orc drew back for her stroke. If this failed, she would cut me down. I planted my hand on her chest as her sword slashed down at me.
Sizzling touch, the spark of pain, let the prowess of Lord and Lil stun.
Sparks erupted from my hand. The orc staggered back, her sword falling from her spasming hand. She hit the ground and convulsed. I ran her through with my spear as she lay stunned. She vanished. I gritted my teeth, glad that I had killed that bitch. Even if it was just for a moment. But while I killed her, the other wildhound still in the fight, Hila, was grabbed by the throat by the Yukiana she fought. Hila twisted her head and bit the hand, but that didn't stop the ice from spreading over her body. The wildhound howled in pain as the frost spread over her skin. Her body spasmed.
then she vanished. At the same time, Havas the Satyr screamed in pain. A unicorn's golden horn burst out of her back in a spray of blood. The unicorn wrenched her horn free, crimson staining her once pristine horn. Havas staggered back on her hooves, her life spilling down her breasts. She vanished before she hit the ground. Rage blazed in me. My monster girls were just not strong enough to fight level 2 enemies. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin shuddered at the horror of seeing poor Havas gored by a unicorn. She loved Havas. They were both life monsters. She was a surrogate mother to the Satyrs and the other monster girls. She loved them as much as she loved her own children. With fear beating in the dryad's heart, she rushed forward.
Hey!
She shouted at the unicorn who had gored Havas.
Come fight me, you bitch!
The unicorn turned to face the dryad. A smile spread on her innocent face. Blood ran over her features, dripping from her horn, making a mockery of that purity. The unicorn stamped her hoof and then lowered her horn. She charged at Mrs. Baldwin. The dryad flexed her toes and then they shot out. Vines to wrap up the unicorn. But the monster girl charged faster than the dryad had expected. Her tendrils seized the unicorn's legs, but she was running too fast. The golden horn slammed into Mrs. Baldwin's guts. Pain exploded through her while her vines tightened around the unicorn. Mrs. Baldwin would rather take this pain than another. She threw back her head and screamed. Maya rushes at the Yukiana that killed Hila. The watery Undine felt the harem's desperation. This was worse than the village. If they failed here, there was no coming back for any of them. They would all die. She would have failed Leo. She wouldn't let her best friend down.
Hey!
She shouted, darting past Yusiku. As she did, she smacked the orc the Fomorian fought in the ass. The watery slap brought a snarling growl from the orc. Maya heard more than saw Yusika's sword cutting into the orc's flesh. A bellow of pain that cut off.
Thanks!
Yusika shouted. Maya nodded and formed her hand into a watery battering ram. She slammed it into the face of the Yukiana. The blue-haired and frosty woman gasped as it struck her hard in the head. The Yukiana flung to the ground, sluggish blood oozing out of her broken nose. Maya grinned, liking her watery body. It was just the thing she needed to embrace to fight at her full efficiency. She turned her battering ram into a sword, but she couldn't get it to have a sharp edge. Water didn't want to do that. A blunt object, though, she formed a hammer and raised her arm. The Yukiana thrust a hand against her leg. Cold shot into Maya. She gasped, pain tearing through her form as her water froze. Crystals of ice built inside of her, growing on each other, reaching up through her body.
No!
She screamed in agony. Pain flowed through Mrs. Zoe Baldwin. Her golden sap bled out of her. She gripped the unicorn.
Why?
The pain spread through her. Around them, the fighting raged. The dryad screamed in pain.
Why do we have to fight each other?
She would rather love and nurture all the monster girls. Orcs, unicorns, Yukiana, and basilisks included. They didn't have to be enemies. Why did these twins have to send this pain and suffering to her family? The memory of crushing that poor basilisk screamed in her mind. She had to do the same to the unicorn. She just had to crush the life out of her. But Mrs. Baldwin had felt the life leaving the basilisk's body. She was life. A life monster born in service to that soothing and healing power. She wasn't meant to cause pain but to strengthen with her love and nourish with her breast milk. Her grip faltered on the unicorn. She surrendered to the pain. Regret filled her as she died and fell into a sleep, held by the loving arms of Celine.
Mom!
I screamed as she vanished. The unicorn who had killed her turned her attention to me. Blood and golden sap smeared on her horn, the colors mixing. Her innocent face still held this purity to it that was soiled by the pain she had caused. The unicorn smiled at me.
Shadows flow and darkness sharpens. Let the cunning of Lord Zuin stab.
I cast Dark Dagger and threw the blade of night at the unicorn. She laughed as she darted to her right, the dagger flowing past her. She leveled her horn and charged at me, the point poised to rip out my heart and kill me.
Waters gush and flow. Let the force of Lord Enki sweep.
I breathed water. A torrent of it gushed out and struck the unicorn before she could hit me. It threw her to the ground. She tumbled and neighed in shock. I clutched my spear and charged after her, the anger building and building in me. This pressure throbbed in my heart. I wanted to explode. Asterisk.
Mother!
Garnet whispered. The unicorn who gored her mother lay on the ground, drenched in water. Leo charged her but Garnet flapped her wings. She soared through the air and landed over the unicorn, this maddening fury consuming the succubus. She had never been so angry in her life.
You killed my mother!
She screeched, her hands clamped about the throat of the unicorn. Her thumbs dug into the monster girl's windpipe. She dug in tight, her wings fluttering. She had never once wanted to kill an enemy monster girl. Play with them, yes? Fuck them, definitely. She wanted to share pleasure with them, but not this monster girl. Screeching in wordless fury, Garnet's fingers choked the unicorn. She thrashed, her horn flashing before Garnet's face. Hooves smacked on the stones. The battle raged around them, but all that mattered to Garnet was avenging her mother.
She was the best mother ever!
The unicorn's face turned red. Her eyes bulged. Garnet didn't care. She had never been so angry in her life. These terrible monster girls came in and attacked them. They turned Halia into a statue and all those villagers. They hurt people Garnet loved, and they were trying to kill her big brother. She screeched and kept choking. The unicorn's hooves drummed on the flagstones. The strike slowed and then went still. The unicorn's eyes rolled back in her head.
She went still. Garnet kept clenching. Her hand squeezed and squeezed, choking the life from the unicorn melted away, returned to the void crystal. Garnet threw back her head and burst into a trembling sob at the first monster girl she'd killed. Her hands shook about nothing. Her small breasts rose and fell as she struggled to regain her composure. Why couldn't the unicorn have been nice? Want to have sex with them? We could have H have had F fun. She sobbed. The pain of the ice crystal swelled through Maya's watery form. The Undine sobbed as the Yukiana killed her. She could do nothing as more and more of her liquid form solidified. Her vision blurred. She was dying. She didn't want to die. She wanted to fight to protect Leo. She loved him. Had loved him since they were kids. She had him here in this fantasy world. Maybe in the real world, they would have stepped over the line, or maybe Leo would never have seen her as more than his best friend. But here, they had each other and so much more. Shadows flashed. A sword of darkness cleaved through the Yukiana's neck. Her beautiful face parted from her body and tumbled across the ground moments before her body vanished. Maya gasped. The eyes stopped spreading, but her body still was half frozen. She whimpered as she stared up at Yusuku. The Fomorian stared down at Maya, Yusuku's brow twisted in horror. Then the Welsh girl looked up. Her face narrowed at the carnage raging around them. She rolled her neck and then charged off to plunge into the fray. Maya whimpered as she slowly thawed. I had watched Garnet strangling the unicorn that I had knocked down. My little sister had squeezed and squeezed while sobbing her rage. It was painful to watch. I ripped my gaze from her. I had to get back into the fight. Yusuka cut the head off a Yukiana hurting Maya. Another one was gathering her power. She threw ice at Pani. My Naga screamed in pain, frost coating her blue scales. Her head tossed, sapphire hair flying. The unicorn she fought gored her horn at Pani.my Naga twisted out of the way, barely, her movement slower. The frost gleamed on her scales, the cold affecting her energy. I growled and charged at the Yukiana, my spear clutched in my hand. I leveled it at her back as she drew in another breath to coat Pani in more ice. The Naga's tail lashed out in a sweeping arc that swept the Yukiana's feet out from beneath her. The icy maiden gasped as she became airborne for a heartbeat. Then she slammed down hard on her back, a burst of frosty air exploding from her lips. The unicorn's horn speared in at Pani. The Naga hissed and twisted her body to dodge, but she moved too slow. Her sluggish movement left her open this time. The glittering horn slammed into her chest between her breasts. Pani's back arched. She hissed in pain, and then she vanished in motes of light, disappearing. I roared my fury, closing in on the Yukiana. She kicked up like a ninja, landing with grace, her frosty blue hair fluttering around her. She turned to face me and drew in her breath. Her eyes focused right at me. I ran faster. The ice melted from Maya's body. She groaned, forcing herself to stand. She whimpered at the pain. The crystals were still in her body, stiff points almost like bones that ripped at her liquid form. She shuddered as she rose. She couldn't just lie there. Her family was fighting for their lives. Did the satyr danced and dodged on her cloven hooves. The busted monster girl's silky, gray hair flowed behind her elegant body as she dodged the orc's sword strokes. The swarthy monster girl roared her frustration as she sought to cut down the satyr. Yusuke didn't notice Duda's plight. The Fomorian charged after Svisos. The will-o-wisp had her own orc trying to kill her. She held off death with bursts of lightning that the orc dodged, but she was backing into the corner of the throne room. As Maya staggered to help Dud fight her orc, Svisos gasped. She hit the wall. She had nowhere to go. The orc lunged her sword in, roaring her triumph. Svisos threw up her hands. A blast of lightning burst from her and struck the orc in the chest. Sparks sizzled. The orc's sword buried through Svisos's chest and out into the wall behind her. Maya hissed her fury at the pointless pain. Svisos twisted in agony for a moment, and then she vanished, melting away to the void crystal. Yusuka reached the orc, slashing her shadowy blade down at the killer's back. The monster girl whirled, her green tits heaving, and parried. Maya wrenched her gaze from the fight. She had to help Dud. The orc snarled her fury as she swung at the dancing satyr. Maya, closing the distance now to 10 feet, thrust her arm forward. She didn't have a well to fire a large blast of water. This would have to come from her reserves. She shuddered, ignoring the pain in her legs, and fired a focused spray of water with the force of a pressure washer. It struck the orc in the face as she swung at Dud. The orc's head snapped to the side, her swing going off. She staggered, the skin on her cheekbone abraded away by the force of the attack. But it was a brief one. Maya panted, her vision blackening as she used her own life for the attack. The orc whirled around and took 2 steps in a blur of furious green. She swung her sword at Maya. In darkness slumbers and shadows hide, let the grace of Lady Ninaza fall. A cloud of darkness sprang up around me, cloaking my body. The Yukiana vanished. I took 2 steps to the right, concealed from her vision. Her icy breath rushed past me. I felt the edges of the Arctic gale, the sting on my flesh. It would have been bad. Hooves clomped. I paused, listening. The unicorn who'd killed Pani charged through at the darkness. She ran blind. I thrust my spear out before me, aiming it in the direction of the clattering steps. A body slammed into the end of the spear. It shook in my sweaty grip, almost slipping from my grasp. But I held fast as the whinnying cry of the unicorn's pain echoed through the darkness. Her body staggered, pulling at the spear and almost yanking it out of my hand. Then my weapon came free, her body vanishing. I had her.
I ran at the Yukiana and burst out of the cloud of darkness into the light. The snowy maiden gasped. Her frost-white body dodged out of the way of my spear. I thrust past her. She rushed forward, her glacial blue hair flowing behind her. Fury crossed her face. She screamed as she seized my arms. Cold flooded through the wool of my gray robes and flooded into my body with numbing pain. I gasped, the chill so frigid it burned where she touched me. Fury wreathed her eyes. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.